Recording begins. Recording begins. Up and down on your ass and your head.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hello, everybody. We're back from BotCon. This is WTF at TFW. I am your host, radio personality Vangelis, and I'm joined today by Gog Dog. How was Vegas?
It was fun. I gambled all of, I think, $4.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, so I have a certain degree of self-restraint. I could have just thrown that money in the garbage can. So instead, I had $5 remaining on my slot machine budget, and I ended up just spending it on a pretzel. And I think I ended up getting more out of it than if I would have put it in the slot.
I hear there's good pretzels up there.
Yeah, it was actually a really good damn pretzel, too.
Wish I could have come to Vegas. I haven't been to Vegas for a couple years, and I always like bumming around there. It's such a... It's such a weird place.
It is, and I'm not a touristy person. I mean, I live in Central Florida, like the tourist capital of North America. So it's like I'm not into that for the most part, but it was cool just to walk around. Like every building is a neon competition for the block that it's on.
It never goes dark there.
Yeah, it is. It's just insane. Like everyone should at least go and walk around at least once.
Did you hear any of the music that gets piped up like through the sidewalk?
I saw there was some of that like for the fountain shows at the Bellagio.
Oh, no, but there's, like, no matter where you go on the Vegas Strip, music is being piped from somewhere hidden.
It's really weird.
It took me a few days to realize that, and then I was like, wait a second, there's music coming out of these plants. I was really wigged out. Also here with us is Seth Buzzard, who I believe, well, we all caught it, but there was something going around BotCon this year.
Oh, yeah. I basically got home and slept and laid around for 2 days, and I'm still kind of... coughing a lot.
What I'm doing.
Having some pretty savage coughing fits, but yeah.
I've got the nasal leakage still happening, and I am still every now and then bleeding. But now that I'm back at home in my own little room where I'm not surrounded by a whole bunch of people who would watch me bleed everywhere, it won't impact the podcast as it perhaps did in our Sunday recording.
It won't impact it for me either because now I have a mute switch. But yeah, this was the first time I've been sick in like 3 or 4 years. Like I have a pretty heavy duty immune system, and I don't know what this was, but this is the first time that it's been penetrated in a long time. I forgot what it was like to have a cough. It's not very fun.
I completely forgot what it's like to have a major like sinal head cold in a huge crowd of people when you're trying to do stuff, because like when we were recording, it was such a bother because it's like I don't want to record the sound of me blowing my nose every couple seconds, so I was trying to keep that off mic while we were doing recordings and stuff, and I was like, man, this is different than when I've had a stuffy nose before.
Yeah, it seems like I'm getting weaker when it comes to conventions, because the first two I went to, I was fine all the way through, and I was fine when I got home. Like, I was tired, but I didn't get sick. Then last year, I was fine until I was about halfway home, and then on the plane, it just turned on. And by the time I finished getting home, I just felt horrible. And then this year, I get sick during the show, so...
Well, that's why I snagged that picture on BotCon.com. Lanny took a really nice photo of me right after the script reading, and I was like, this was the last known photo of me when I was healthy. Is that right after that script reading is when it all started for me. Anyway, we're here to talk about Transformers, but really we're here to just kind of do a BotCon debrief, because we all went to BotCon, and on Sunday, we had a whole lot of great chatter on Sunday, I think. But we absolutely did not talk about really much of anything that we got. I think there were still bits and pieces of BotCon left over we could have talked about, too. So we're going to make this basically what we got this week as an opener, because this week we all got a whole lot of stuff. And I had a few little things to throw in here and there outside of BotCon as well. So let's just open up. Let's just start talking about Transformers we got, and then we'll transition from there as they peter out. But I know that, like, you know, we were at BotCon, so we all got convention toys. And we don't have to talk about them much because everyone is talking about them. But generally, I was very pleased with this year's toys, and I think they were a real step forward for FunPub as far as both redecos and original head sculpts went. I think this was like, this wasn't just the best they've ever done. This felt like an evolutionary step that I really hope carries through to Runamuck and Runabout. Like, that's going to be the test, I think. But what about you guys? Like, just quick capsule thoughts of leftover thoughts on the convention toys themselves. GOG.
I mean, it's out of the three BotCons I've been to, this is easily my favorite set. I really like this set. Even the ones that didn't receive the new heads, I thought were really well done. I love Dead End, and I think I might like him even more than most from the people that I've talked to. He seems to be the least favorite, and that doesn't mean that people dislike him. He just seems to be, out of the five, people seem to like him slightly less than the others. But I really dig him. I like him a lot more than the Jazz that I own, I think. And the same with the drag strip. I still think the drag strip might be my favorite from the set. I just think she turned out so well, the paint apps and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the box set as a whole, it's great. And it's really cool, too, because you don't... Like, it's a team, so you never want to break them up either. So that might even be a bad thing, like, because some people, they don't mind. Like, they'll sell their box set, keep a loose set, and maybe even sell off a couple of figures from the actual set that they don't want, and keep two, three, maybe four figures from the actual box set. But in this case, I really have a hard time believing that that's going to happen. Although I still have seen some people, like, we interviewed Morgan Loftin, and she said that she's trying to get a single drag strip. So, good luck, Morgan.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to find. I mean, I'm sure that you can find them on eBay, but I have a feeling for individual prices are probably going to go for really high amounts.
As far as singles go, drag strip is the one I've heard people trying to get singles of out of that box.
I don't know. I mean, I always thought that I'd be odd in that regard, especially because there just seemed to be a little bit of backlash in the beginning with the fact that Dragstrip's gender had been changed for this set, but it some people didn't seem to like that, but I'm glad that people have come around.
Yeah, definitely.
But even above the box set for me, I got my dream toy. I got my animated Auto Troopers, and I'm really happy about that. It's a shame that they were a little more than I was expecting, because I would have liked to have at least got a second set of those, I think, but in the end, I have three duplicates. I probably don't really need any more, but I'm really, really, really happy with the Auto Troopers. I'm very glad that they made that set, and they might. I haven't decided yet, but they might be my favorite of all the BotCon toys this year, just because of the fact that they're freaking Auto Troopers. And that's it as far as the convention toys I got. I actually passed on all the other sets. I picked up a shattered glass set that I still need to mail to Foster Logger, but outside of that, I actually passed on the others, just mainly due to the price. I couldn't really justify it to myself paying that much. Maybe I'll end up regretting it later, that's fine. I'm sure a little bit of that was some ingrained rebellion on my part, but which, you know, in the end, probably made no difference at all, seeing as they all sold out one way or another, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's how it works.
Well, that's a perfect segue, though, because I was going to ask Seth primarily about one of the souvenir sets, since, Seth, you picked up souvenirs, you'd sold souvenirs, and then you actually got a hold of one of those souvenirs again afterwards for yourself.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird roundabout method of everything. But, yeah, so I got all three sets initially, and I was going to do, like, Dog and only get the Auto Troopers at one point, just because of the how the pricing was going. And then a dude on Twitter, who I don't know if we really want to name drop or if it's even a big deal about name dropping him, but anyway, this guy Frank, he was going to go to BotCon and couldn't at the last minute, and was just tweeting like, I really want stuff if anybody's got stuff. So I thought, to be a buddy, I'd just pass stuff along to him for cost. And but I wanted the sideswipe, so he was okay with splitting that setup. Is his roommate super badly wanted Toxicron. And then I initially offered just to split up the Galvatron Thundercracker set, because I kind of wanted Thundercracker, but he really wanted Thundercracker also. And I figured, well, I could live without Thundercracker. And then when I actually started seeing Thundercrackers in person, then I was like, man, I actually want Thundercracker. So Boardwise from the message board was on the fence about it. He said if he decided not to keep his, then he'd sell it to me at cost. And then he decided to keep his.
Damn it, Boardwise. Then
our Tony from the message board on Sunday went down and got the two pack. And I don't know if she had already gotten it and just wanted an extra Galvatron, but she only wanted the Galvatron. So she sold me the Thundercracker for cost. So it's kind of a weird circular money thing going on. Where, like, I bought it, got my money back, and then bought it again. So it was kind of weird. But Thundercracker is so violently ugly in his color scheme that I couldn't resist.
It's a great way to put it. I was just really... excuse me. There you go. I was really confused because due to that cough, among other things, I was really out of it during that part of the weekend. And all I knew was that you were going to sell Thundercracker, and then I thought you'd sold it. Then I saw you with Thundercracker again, and I was really confused for a good hour or so. I was like, did I just imagine he sold it? Like, was I just having a fever dream about him selling it? Because he has it again, and I don't know how he got it again, but okay, whatever. We're all good here.
Yeah, I got it from Artoni just like an hour or two after dropping off the one I was selling at the UPS table that was there. So I never had two Thundercrackers in my possession at the same time. So he never crossed his own timeline in that regard. Otherwise, it could have gone real bad.
Would have had a temporal event.
Yeah, that was weird stuff. But kind of a part of me regrets not getting a Toxitron, but I was already hanging on to the sideswipe from that. So if I had, because they were still selling the souvenir figures fairly deep into Sunday.
I was really surprised by
that. The final ones were selling out.
I think they'd sold out around 11 or 12 on Sunday, I believe.
Yeah. And then wasn't the Auto Trooper, didn't that end up being the last one
That was the last one to sell out, which also really surprised me, because usually, like, you can't get these toys on Sunday, and usually the Troop Builder goes first, and I'd heard a rumor from Saturday that the Troop Builder had already sold out, so I just assumed it had sold out, and then when they said, we sold out of everything but the Auto Trooper, I was like, what? And I was like, maybe I should go get another one. But then I was like, no, I'm too sick.
Yeah, maybe a lot of people just assumed that and never went back for another one.
It must be it.
But yeah, and with the Auto Troopers and a Fistatron or Fizzatron or whatever they officially had to call him, like that mold I wasn't super into for Ratchet and Ironhide, but I just think something about that new head makes it work a lot more.
It works with the squat, like, broadness of it, I think.
Yeah, maybe the colors had something to do with it. I don't know. But I just, I have Ironhide and Ratchet, and I just always remember thinking, like, nah, yeah, I guess they're okay. But, or maybe it's just like the exclusiveness of them now. Or I don't know what it is, but I like that mold with this head more than the other heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I still think I liked Ironhide more than Ratchet, but it is kind of strange how I now have four different characters in this mold, and the more repaints we get, the more I like it. The only thing I'm not keen on is the elbow. I think that could have been done a little better, but it's just the way that it transforms and whatever. Unless you look at it directly from the side, it looks fine.
I was going to throw out there, because there was a lot of talk between us and other people at the show about the increased cost in the toys, and I'm really sorry, I can't remember who actually brought this up, but I believe on Twitter I read a really good, I think it was on Twitter, I read a great theory as to why the Auto Troopers themselves were so expensive, which is that usually the troop builder is something that's from the box set, whereas this time the troop builder was based off of the freebie toy, and so also the custom head was only used on the freebie toy and the troop builder and not in the actual box set, and that might have done something to add that extra $10-$20 to the cost.
Yeah.
Like was there a Sharkticon in that year's box set, though?
Yeah, the Skybite.
I was trying to remember if that actually was true, but it was, because, you know, the Virulent clones, they were based on guys from the box set. Skybite and the Sharkticon, Skybite's in the box set, Sharkticons. Scourge was in the box set, the Sweeps. So that science actually does hold true up until now, so I think that might... It makes sense to me if that was a reason. It doesn't seem ludicrous.
Well, that explains why the Troop Builder set was more, but then also the two packs were more.
Yeah, and that's the part where I kind of like the whole science kind of collapses. But
and both yeah. Well, but both of those also had a Voyager in it, and I think in past like there was only ever one Voyager, wasn't there?
The last couple years, yeah, there was one. The last couple years, I believe that there was one set that was a deluxe and a Voyager, and one set that was two deluxes.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not very good at doing lock on history on the spot, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I heard stuff while we were at the con, and it's stuff that I can't really talk about. But I do have reason to believe that some of the prices on some of the sets were increased at the last minute, and that's really all I can say. And you know, and I'm not, again. I mean, I know that's kind of lame that you drop that and don't talk about it, but you know, it's kind of disappointing, but. In the end, whatever.
Well, so they all sold out,
and it's still cheaper getting them that way than you will pay on the aftermarket, but it is kind of a bummer.
It's the nature of BotCon, too, that whenever you're at the show, you're going to hear, like, you're going to hear stuff, quote-unquote. And, you know, it really, at the end of the day, I always say, like, you know, we'll hear things that we can't really, you know, reasonably say again, or share or spread around, but... I always say, if you really want to know what happened, you know, email the club, because at the end of the day, it is their show, and it's
yeah.
It's
and
up to
again,
them.
I mean, just the fact that they did that doesn't make it bad. Something may have happened where they had to do that price increase. It doesn't mean that they're a bunch of Mr. Burns with their fingers together, like, we're gonna get them. I mean, it may have been completely legitimate. It just you know. So that's why I'm just saying, if it was only for money reasons, then you know that sucks, but. In the end, like I think I said this on one of the At BotCon episodes, I got my Auto Troopers, and in the end, I don't care. The money spent, if I hadn't spent it on them, I would have spent it on a couple of hamburgers or something, so whatever.
Yeah,
and those would have been some expensive hamburgers.
It's $90 hamburgers.
I had some expensive, I had a couple of expensive
hamburgers.
Well, you get room service enough times, and it'll get pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Each hamburger had a lobster tail on it.
I had a really expensive hamburger in Vegas, but oh my god, it was worth it.
By the way, just a slight segue, but how were Andy and Nicole doing? Were they feeling all right by the time they got to Vegas?
Nicole was rough. Andy, by that point, hadn't gotten sick yet. My last day there, he was getting the sore throat.
I knew
it! Yeah, so Nicole was feeling pretty bad. She was coughing up a storm, but hopefully by now... all that's over, because that's generally like the last phase, is it moves out of you, the sinus cold part disappears, and you're just left with a nasty cough for a few days, which I still have a little bit of. But I did want to say one more thing. I wanted to give a huge shout out to someone involving these sets. I had mentioned earlier that I got a Shattered Glass set for Foster Logger. I don't know if it was my mistake, it probably was, or if it was BotCon's mistake, but I had thought that when I turned in my form on Thursday night after getting in the club store line, I checked off the line saying I wanted a set of Auto Troopers for myself. I checked the line that I thought was the Shattered Glass set, but I might have, you know, it was really late. I'd already been in line for like 5 hours. I may have made a mistake. Either way, I didn't realize until Friday night when I went to check Foster sets before I mailed them off, because one of my Auto Troopers was missing a head, which was quickly replaced by the club store. It wasn't a big deal, but, you know, you can only do that while you're there. So I was checking Foster's toys to make sure that everything was fine with them before I left the convention. As I opened the bag, in the sealed bag, I realized that I didn't have a Shattered Glass set. I had a set of Toxitron and Action Master Thunder animated sideswipe. And I kind of screamed out loud as I realized that I just ripped open the wrong bag and then was going to have to try to get an exchange. So I went to the club store. It was a very weird situation, and I don't want to name all the details because I don't want to get anyone in trouble just in case that they were saying stuff they weren't supposed to or not. But in the end, just to make a long story short, TFW member Deceptigar ended up taking the ripped set off my hands and paying for another set for me to get, and ended up saving my ass and not having to eat another $100 to buy a set. So,
oh, good man.
It was a very stressful time. It all ended well, thanks to him. He really saved me, and so I can't say how gracious enough I am. And that there's just a lot of that at conventions, like especially if you're on the online communities, you generally see a lot of rudeness and stuff a lot of times, just because it's the internet. You know, people don't have any self restraint because they don't have to deal with the consequences. But I just find that in person, so much of the opposite is often true. Like you meet people, and they just go out of their way to just be nice because you're there and you're just enjoying each other's company. And so stuff like that, it does really shine positive lights on people that you don't get on the internet. But
there are a lot of classy people at BotCon.
Yeah. But thanks a lot to Deceptigar. I still need to thank him personally again. Maybe I'll send him a private message or something.
I didn't know he was,
want to mention his name.
I didn't know he was there until I think Monday when Andy Cooksucks he told us on Sunday that he knew someone who had a Sonicron, and so I was like, oh, who was it? He's like, oh, I'll send you a link. And so he sent me a link to their review, and I was like, that's Deceptigar. And I'm like, he was here. Did I meet him? Because I wanted to say hello to him.
I met him. I met the hell out of him.
Yeah, he did. Hello, Deceptigar. I honestly don't remember if I met you or not, because you might not have mentioned your screen name. So hello. Hope the Sonicron turned out okay. I guess outside of BotCon Toys, the next big thing that was there, and I actually don't remember how much you guys got into it. I know, Seth, you got into it a bit with those two packs, but there were Dark of the Moon toys there. I got a whole pile of Dark of the Moon stuff, but the majority of it was thanks to our Tony, who'd helped me out with, via some Target proxy buying. So if you've heard on the podcast, I picked up Sentinel Prime, Skyhammer, and Shockwave. And I heard someone tell... Was it one of you guys? Someone told me that at a Hasbro Q&A, the Hasbro guys mentioned that they were surprised how few people had tried to plug a mech tech weapon onto Sentinel and then use his voice chip. Was it you guys? Or was it someone else?
No, I missed that.
Well, I just tried it while we were talking. So you plug a mech tech weapon in, and you get that mech tech noise. But if you plug, because all he said when you pushed his chest was, I am Sentinel Prime. So you plug a mech tech weapon in, and then you get all the other sound effects.
Good to see you alive, Optimus. What has happened to the Allspark?
There you go. I didn't know that until someone told me.
Oh, man. That's a spoiler. Sentinel asking what happened to the Allspark. Optimus is going to have to explain how they've just been destroying every artifact from Cybertron.
What did you do? Wrecked. Oh, that's good. At least we still have the Sun Harvester.
At least the Matrix is still out there. Oh, yeah, about that. That's kind of in a sock right now.
Well, we'll use the Sun Harvester. We'll use the Sun Harvester to build a new one.
Yeah, Sun Harvester, we could restore Cybertron. No, actually, we can.
Well, where's Devastator? He can build a new one.
Oh, the humans had this magic boat gun that blew them up.
Oh, where's the boat gun? Oh, we don't know.
No, it sailed. Its mission was done. It just disappeared into the ocean, I guess. Oh.
I'm once again excited for Dark of the Moon. So aside from those, though, I did pick up some other Dark of the Moon things from the club store. They actually had new Human Alliance toys, and I didn't talk to a lot of people about it, but every single person I talked to seemed genuinely surprised that they had these toys. And Seth, you were the one who pointed out to me, because I was like, where are they? You're like, they're on the floor when we went in with our wristbands of shame on that morning. So
I had seen that there were Human Alliance down there, but I didn't notice that there were those newer ones.
Yeah, the helicopter.
I just saw Human Alliance, assumed that they had to have been the ones I've already seen before, and then didn't think about it again.
Yeah, and the only reason I knew that the new ones were there was because I think it was when I went to Aaron and Jared's room. I think Jared had just picked up the motorcycle with the Minicon. I was like, where'd you get that? He's like, the club store. And I was like, I'm going to kick your ass now. And he's like, no. I was like, okay. But I went there and I think I grabbed the last two that they had, or the last whirl and the last whatever he's called Spitfire take thing. And they are pretty cool. That Human Alliance line is definitely doing some stuff right. And I also got a $9 deluxe barricade, and that, for those out there who have still been, you know, there's the Human Alliance barricade did a whole lot right and still got a few things wrong, primarily in the hips. So if you're still waiting for that perfect barricade toy, I can tell you Dark of the Moon barricade is one of the best barricades, but he's still just kind of okay. He's a very well done barricade, but that does not necessarily mean a very well done transformer. He's a great figure from the waist up. But from the waist down, he suffers from that, like, barricade curse of just having real weird legs. And it's a bit of a bummer. But he's otherwise actually a very well-done barricade, and I was really happy with him because I like barricade. So if you can get him for $9 like I did, then by all means do. I'm just trying to remember if I found any other Dark of the Moon stuff. I think that was it for me. Seth, I know got you got some... a yeah, you got a whack of it.
No, I didn't get a whack. I mean, I got four deluxes from the club store.
I still
only
think
two of them were Dark of the Moon.
I still think that's a whack.
Well, you're whack.
Maybe I am. I'm sick.
Anyway, so, like, they had bundled a lot of stuff together, like the wind charger they had. You had to get, like, the whole wave of six basics to get it. Which, like, I understand, like, they're going to bundle, like, the really popular thing with the thing that they don't want to get stuck with. And you just know that if Wind Charger was by itself up for grabs, they would have sold out a Wind Charger in 20 minutes and then had to carry home all the rest of the basics. So I kind of understand why they would do that, but doesn't mean you have to like it. So I really wanted Rekgar. I'd never seen Rekgar anywhere around here. So I had to also get a repaint of the original Classics Bumblebee.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll eat that. And the paint actually might be better. Like, a lot of this stuff I also had to ship home because it's just too big and too much. And that all came really late last night. Like, the UPS truck didn't come by until, like, 7:30 at night.
Oh, wow.
So I actually haven't really had this... have had the time to spend with a lot of this stuff yet. So, like, none of these I've even transformed yet. I basically pulled them out of the package as they were and threw them in a bag to reduce size, and they're still all in their vehicle modes. But yeah, so I got the Bumblebee, I got the Rekgar. Then they had Laserbeak from Dark of the Moon, and I hadn't seen anything of this guy. I was surprised to see it up there. And you couldn't even see it the way they had it stacked on the shelf. There was just a little sign that said Laserbeak/Starscream.
My favorite kind of fish.
And yeah, so I'm like, can I see that Laserbeak? And I'm like, sure. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I'm like, well, you have to get Starscream too. And I was like, yeah, I know, I can read. So
like, don't be smart with us, sir.
Insult my intelligence. You coward. But yeah, based on your love for that deluxe Starscream, I didn't feel too bad about getting that also. And luckily I hadn't gotten them before, so
yeah.
It wasn't like I was getting backed into a corner where it was like, well, if I want Laserbeak, then I gotta double up on Starscreams. So again, I haven't really spent any time with Starscream yet, haven't even tried transforming it, but we did mess with Laserbeak a bit then and there, and I think we talked about it a little bit in a recording, but yeah, he's kind of ridiculous, but in all the ways that I like his, kind of like with Ravage, his vehicle mode is just like, you just tuck in a bunch of parts, like you fold his wings in and you tuck his legs up and you hide his head away. And now he's like some weird VTOL craft. But what's funny is the bit that covers his head kind of has a Laserbeak-ish face painted on it.
Yes.
So even when he doesn't have a face, he kind of has a face. And that face is horrible. Like, I don't know what was going on with the giant googly Muppet eyes on either side of his head, but it looks even more ridiculous in the picture on the packaging. Like, you can't even make out the beak of the robot in, on the packaging picture. You just see what appears to be the silver bit with these two balls stuck to the sides with a red line going across each one. But, yeah, he's weird and goofy, and his mech tech doesn't quite work. So if you haven't seen it, he comes with two kind of big guns, and then you can plug them together to make a big long rifle, and the barrel rotates on the front part gun as you're shoving the other one into the back. The problem is, like, you could get the gun barrel to line up straight when they're separated, but I was never able to get it to line up straight when it was combined, even with trying to adjust it after attaching them together. The barrel's always, like, slightly at an angle.
Yeah.
So separated, the barrel is like a machine gun barrel, and combined, it's like a laser gun barrel sort of a thing. But, yeah, look how just kind of goofy he is. And at least his vehicle mode kind of looks like something, unlike Ravages, where it was just like a folded up cat. Yeah. This actually kind of looks like a thing. And then I'll be surprised if he even ever has that mode in the movie.
Given a toy spoiler that popped up today, I kind of doubt it myself.
Yeah, I'm guessing he just, like, will pop out Soundwave and fly around.
Yeah.
He'll never have a reason to transform into a different thing that can fly.
Well, still, at worst case, you can think of this kind of like as a grown-up laser beak who no longer needs to live inside another robot's stomach.
Well, I'm assuming that's what he does. How Scorponok just sort of popped off of Blackout.
Yeah,
that's but like, what I expect Laserbeak to do.
Deluxe Laserbeak is kind of like the fantasized, romanticized evolution of it. So, like, someday in the future, Laserbeak will grow up and leave Soundwave and go and be a helicopter.
Yeah. The giant guns sticking off the tops of his VTOLs.
Of course.
But, yeah, but it's just, it's okay. It's goofy. And it's goofy in the right ways, so I like him. He might not be for everybody's tastes, so purchase at your own risk, I suppose.
I was eyeing that thing, but I think even if I didn't have Starscream, I just didn't really want to run it for, it was like 26 for both, and I was like, I can probably get that back at home. I think I'll wait.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was sort of the oh my god, I've never even seen that before of it.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anybody else here with it yet, so.
And that Laserbeak also apparently showed up at least briefly at the Target that was nearby. I know that John, board member John, said that he hid one in Target just to see what would happen. And then when I finally went to that Target, I actually went looking for it, but I couldn't find it. All I could find was Mudflap, who was from the same wave.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of John, well, I remember. Big thank you to him, too, for picking me up from the airport. My flight ended up, I think as we talked about before, I actually ended up getting in an hour early, so I didn't have a ride scheduled for, like, 2 hours, and he was kind enough to come and pick me up. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, John was solid. I mean, he was there also, like, what, a day before everybody else got there. He'd scoped the whole place out by the time I talked to him. He's like, yeah, I know where everything is.
Yeah, we took a run to that Target. It must have been Thursday morning.
Did you have much success?
No, I went with Aaron, and if you listen to the Canadian Slag podcast, like all those guys, Proto Man and a GM fan, and can't remember that one dude's name that's on now. Who's that dude that's
Decepticon
on,
Army.
Yeah, that guy. So, we strolled over there, and they all kind of locked directly into the transformer display. And Proto Man and I went a little farther down the aisle and started digging around the Marvel stuff because he was looking for Captain America and I was just looking for anything interesting. And I got a Winter Soldier from Captain America and Loki from Thor. And then by the time I had decided on that, the other dudes had pretty much determined that there was nothing at all of interest in the Transformer section.
No big surprise to me.
Yeah, including a total lack of Voyager Megatrons. So
when I got there, I couldn't even. I went looking in the Voyager section because they were $20 there. So I was like, "That's cheaper than a Vulcan. Maybe I'll find Ironhide." But it was like just all Optimus Primes. So I was like, "Ah,
yeah." Well.
And thanks to Vulcan, like now I'm okay with skipping that Ironhide because there's going to be a red one coming out later. So whatever.
But one of the funny things with that trip to Target is some of the guys wanted to get snacks and stuff to keep in the room. And, like, GM fans making this big deal of how many options of potato chips and how many flavors of potato chips there are in the United States that don't exist in Canada. Just the whole way over to the potato chip section, just going on and on about all the crazy flavors and how amazing it is and the glorious bounty that is the American potato chip aisle. And then they get there and they all just get playing potato chip flavors. And I'm like, why aren't you guys, like, this is your big chance. Like, this is your chance to get the crazy, like, fire roasted onion chipotle chip and the wacky whatever else taco burrito flavor chip. And like, no, just like these ones. And it's like, whatever.
I didn't look in the chip aisle. I should have done that. I like crazy chips. That's why whenever the big Walmarts out here get crazy chip flavors, like the what was it? Doritos Flavor A and stuff like that. I always want to give those a try. It's so exciting for me.
And like I remember looking on the British website for Pringles. They got some crazy chip flavors over there.
Bangers and mash. Compared to,
no, like that, like lamb flavored Pringles. Just weird.
Or like, someone likes it.
I was like, meat flavors? Like, really?
Going back to Dark of the Moon, Gog, I forgot if you got any Dark of the Moon while we were at the show.
And I didn't, but I actually got some like the day before I left that I haven't talked about. Well, two things. One, only one Dark of the Moon figure, and I actually bought Human Alliance, is it Thunderhead?
Is he the funny looking mech walker one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Thunderhead.
Yeah, I got him because I kind of dig the idea of like a mech suit, and I like the tank mode, but that's a fun little figure. I like him. I think his robot mode and his mech walker mode are different enough to justify the suit mode. The box art of how the character sits in the mech walker mode is a little way off because it looks like he's just strapped to an H harness on the seat and his legs are just dangling below.
Yeah.
But the seat totally folds and it becomes a chair. So I actually like it. I think it's a neat concept.
I've warmed up to that toy myself. I actually like the mech walker mode a lot more than either of the other two modes.
Yeah, I do too. But I still kind of think like the tank mode is still cool. Like it's not really, it's like an inch tank, but the treads are angled down so that it just walks on, like, it rolls on the tips. I don't know. I think maybe I like that, too, because there's a lot of Masamune Shiro designs that do that, and I've always had an affection for tanks that roll on the tiptoes of their treads for some reason.
the Auto Troopers. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's basically the exact same concept. So
where's the repaint? When's it going to happen?
Yeah, so somebody was saying that they wanted to see that repainted into scrap metals. I think somebody might have said that on our show at one point. I can't remember. It might have been, I don't know. I heard a show, I can't remember if it was ours or not. I just remember someone saying that they wanted it repainted into scrap metal. It might have been one of the Canadian slag guys, I can't remember, but whatever.
I
heard that from someone else, and I thought that it was a good idea, and it would be kind of neat.
Yeah.
The other thing that I got was actually, I received it the day before I went to BotCon. from a board member, and his name is Jeff, G-E-O-F, 7609. And I had said a few weeks back on the show that, like, hey, I totally can't find... It was when we were talking about the all the game versions and the exclusives of the Dark of the Moon stuff.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
And I had mentioned how getting the Dark of the Moon DS version that had the RPMs lockdown, Speed Stars lockdown, was probably the only way I was going to be able to get it. So this guy found one at retail and bought it specifically for me and then sent me a message saying, hey, I got this. I want to send it your way. And so total bro action right there. So I ended up just paying him cost for it. And yeah, I have myself a little Speed Stars lockdown. I'm super thankful because it's, again, it's completely due to someone else's generosity. And yeah, I mean, it's a little Hot Wheels lockdown. So, I mean, I haven't really been all that interested in the Speed Stars up to this point. I think the only other diecast one I have is the little Soundwave because, you know, it's animated Soundwave. So, but yeah, it's awesome. Little diecast lockdown. Love it. And I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you very much. Those are really about the only two things that I got on topic.
I should probably throw out then, like, I just today, and like right before I went to BotCon, and then today got a wrecker each day. Today, finally, Rider Pathos, Rider Ion, out of total generosity, sent out a Roadbuster my way, and we were worried it was going to end up like that drift where it would take a billion years to get here, but it got here. I'm going to tell him once we're done here, and so I just popped it open, and it's kind of cool. And I also picked up Top Spin for myself right before BotCon. So
did I. I forgot all about it until Dog started talking about things he got just before BotCon.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I was like, I should bring these up too. So, like, did either of you get Roadbuster yet? Just before
I haven't seen him.
I just want to drop a quick few thoughts on Roadbuster. He's actually way cooler than I was expecting him to be, and I'm really pleasantly surprised. If he had one problem, it would be that he's got a whole lot of unpainted gray plastic in his robot mode, but other than that, he's actually a pretty cool toy. He's got a bit of a backpack, but he turned out pretty well, actually. I was pleasantly surprised, but Top Spin was one of the least expected hits for me as far as a Dark of the Moon toy goes after having gone through Ratchet and Starscream. I was kind of like, well, you know, Top Spin, I guess, looks cool. Then I saw this photo gallery showing off how his shoulders work, and I was like, okay, I got to get that toy now. But Seth, how did you feel about Top Spin?
I actually think his shoulder things are kind of in the way.
Oh, I meant like the shoulder joints, not the hanging things.
Yeah, the things sticking up over them are kind of...
They're weird. Eh.
Yeah, I mean, his shoulder joints didn't really stand out that much. I mean, I guess they're okay, but I don't remember being amazed by them or anything. One of the things that I'm not super fond of is that his vehicle mode is in stealth force mode, whereas what's his bucket, the green one?
Oh, Roadbuster.
Roadbuster is in vehicle mode. You just asked if we had gotten Roadbuster, right? Is that the one you said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did get Roadbuster. What's the third one named?
Oh, Leadfoot. That's the red one.
Okay, I assume that's what you meant.
Oh, no, stuff. I just meant the green one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that one too. We talked about that on the past episode.
I forgot.
So I just got the names confused. They both have ridiculous heads. Topspin has like weird long hair.
It's supposed to be a mullet, but I actually the people who say it looks like the George Washington hair is where I tend to be sitting myself.
Yeah, kind of like a powdered wig thing going on.
Got very presidential looking hair to me.
Yeah, just they're weird looking dudes, but I think he looks better in robot mode than Roadbuster does. But I like Roadbuster's more straight ahead car mode over the mech teched out Top Spin car mode.
Yeah.
So it's all very strange what's going on with these. But I'm committed to getting all three NASCARs at this point. And
if you want to get Leadfoot, you're probably going to end up getting a repaint of Top Spin with it, going by that BotCon panel.
So what, they're not going to release them as an individual?
So far, the only release we've heard is in that 2-pack. I think that Leadfoot might end up being a solid, outside of his the Legion one, it seems like the Deluxe and the Human Alliance are going to be Target exclusives so that they can have the Target logos on them.
Yeah. All right, well, and then that Target exclusive is a 2-pack?
Yeah, the Deluxe one. He's packed with a repaint of Topspin called Twin Twist, and then I heard that might actually just be Topspin, but I haven't gotten any confirmation anyway now.
Yeah, because I heard a lot of people getting excited that it was going to be Twin Twist. Then, like, this was all during the course of the convention. So word spreads, oh, it's going to be Twin Twist. There's actually going to be a Twin Twist. Finally, for the first time, since the first time. And then I would hear people repeat that and then get corrected. Be like, oh, no, that was a misunderstanding. It's not going to be Twin Twist. And then like, the next day, it's like, oh, no, they were right. It is going to be Twin Twist. It's like, who even knows? It's like one of those things that happens at BotCon where,
yeah,
like, a rumor spreads like wildfire and then changes and changes again like 1,000 times. And like, leading up to the Hall of Fame. It went from, we're not going to see the movie, to we are going to see the movie, to I'm going to fight you if you disagree with me.
Yeah, the BotCon rumor mill is always kind of fun because everyone is there. Everyone's been there for the entire show. So it's kind of like, at the end of the day, really, no one should be getting it wrong because we all just heard it. Like, especially that Twin Twist thing. We had just seen it at a panel on Saturday afternoon.
And, like, with the movie, they had said somewhere, I don't remember if it was on Twitter or in one of the update emails or where it was, but I know I read from some official source that we weren't seeing the whole movie, we're just seeing clips. But somehow that turned into being the whole movie, and I was talking to people in lines who were convinced, that who were absolutely positive we were going to be shown the entire movie.
Oh, wow.
And when I was like, I really don't think so, because they said just clips. They also said there's going to be a big surprise. I'm like, yeah, but also the movie's a month away. They're like, well, maybe it's just going to be an unfinished one. I'm like, well, maybe, but... like,
you want to see an unfinished
one? The movie
was
like a month... Yeah, the movie was like a month away in 2009 when we just saw clips. And in 2007 when we saw the whole movie, it was like 3 days away. So yeah. It just seemed too far. And man, I was at the pinnacle of my illness at that point. And when we were sitting there in the theater, like even people around me were still arguing whether or not we were going to see the whole movie. And I was like, I kind of really hope not, because the Hall of Fame part's going to be at least an hour. The movie's going to be at least 2 hours. There's nowhere to go to get more water except for this cruddy little bottle we were given. And I'm dying over here. I really kind of hope we're not seeing the whole movie. So that worked out that we didn't, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's the BotCon rumor mill.
Continuing through stuff we got, I actually had one more Dark of the Moon toy I got from that Target, kind of on a whim. I got the Cyberverse Starscream with the space aircraft carrier thing, because I kind of wanted to get a Transformer from there. I was trying like mad to find one I actually wanted, and it's kind of cool actually. I got to say, for Cyberverse, it's a neat little playset thing, and transforming the ship from like cruiser into battleship into giant chair is kind of fun, so hooray there. And the little Cyberverse Starscream is entirely completely a Starscream toy. That's okay, that is tiny, that's about it.
The only thing from that sort of subline that I think I'll ever get is that Shockwave
looks really cool.
Yeah, Shockwave.
I heard from someone and I forgot who.
Shockwave
again.
Always looks cool.
But apparently he actually has a little hose on him, and then when you plug him into the huge trailer, the hose disconnects from his treads and plugs into the giant trailer. And I was like, that's kind of cool if it does. I guess we could just really go open into any other Transformers we got. Gog, did you get anything else Transformers wise while you're there? Third party included, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that I got was the I bought the Sun and the Night Perfect Effect, the Laserbeak clones based after Garboil and Sundor, the Cobalt Sentry and the one of the three Kiss Play tapes. That mold is okay. I don't think I'm as enamored with it as I am with the humanoid ones that I've seen. I have the Rosanna Ninja. It's just such a great little figure, just full of poseability and personality, and that might just be a limitation of the fact that this is a bird design. I mean, it certainly has more poseability in the wings than the cassette that it's based off of has, for certain. Outside of that, not a lot, other than the extra modes. I know that it's based mainly after, or it's created mainly to be an accessory for the City Commander armor, which is fine, and I haven't really messed with it since I got back from BotCon, so I haven't had a chance to attach it to my City Commander. But one cool thing that it does, though, is it comes with, because it's supposed to connect to City Commander's arm, but City Commander doesn't have a 5mm peg hole. So it comes with an arm clip that you clip onto his arm, and then you plug the weapon mode, which is like an energy sword, into his arm. But what's cool about that is it appears to be a 5mm standard. It is a standard 5mm peg hole. So that clip actually kind of functions as you can now attach anything with a 5mm clip to your City Commander's arm, mech tech, anything else included. Which is that in itself is kind of neat, and because I have two of them, he has one for each arm now, so you can put all sorts of stuff onto that. I don't know if the newness and everything of City Commander is kind of worn off, so I don't know how much of that I care, but it still is kind of cool. But they're okay, they're fun. I don't think that the stuff Perfect Effect has done that are non-humanoid so far has been really up to the levels of fun that their others had. And probably Scouting Force included. I still haven't actually had any hands-on with any of the Scouting Force molds, but I'm assuming that their posability and fun-wise they meet the same standards set by the Rumble and Frenzy and Eject and Rewind molds that they've made, just with now they come as a set of three and have all these crazy accessories that you can use or not use.
I can hazard the statement that I believe they are on par with.
And I figured that was a safe assumption, but I don't regret buying them for sure. I think they're cool and they're neat, and they certainly have more probably play value than the cassette. Overall, if you consider all the modes, like they have a little shuttle mode, or they can, like their energy beam is designed in a way so that it looks like an energy blast coming out for the City Commander backpack, or if you turn it to the front, it looks like an energy sword. So it's cool, and the fact that it does have a standard 5mm peg, if you have a figure large enough, means it could actually hold the thing like a weapon. It looks a little silly. I gave it to Dragstrip. Looks a little bit silly with a figure holding a gun that's basically half her size. But with mech tech, you could, any action figure from Dark of the Moon that has a mech tech port, you could plug it into that as well. So they're neat. They're okay. I thought the color was okay. The paint is not as good as my Rosanna, for certain. One of them, I think it was the Knight, I think had a little bit of overspray in more than one spot. So, yeah, it's just a little disappointing because the paint detail on the Rosanna was so intricate and perfect. And it really didn't seem to be as good a quality. But with that said, it's still, they're okay. If you don't mind dropping, because I think I paid $60 for the set of two.
Yeah. You know,
if you don't mind dropping that much on kind of an updated Laserbeak mold, then you know they're not bad. They're okay.
It seemed that was kind of the going price for any given small box Perfect Effect figure was about $30 a piece. That's what I was taking from the show.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of Perfect Effect as well, but I wanted to.
I saw.
Yeah, I know. And thanks to that, we got some more hands-on experience with the King Bat as well. But I wanted to go to Seth first. What other? I know you got a G1 Transformer that made me pretty jealous.
King Bat is old news.
I know.
You guys are past. Yes, G1. I also got a lot of third-party stuff, but I think I did the rundown on one of the shows there. So I could reiterate for the fun of it if we had to. But yes, the G1 specifically, I got my first headmaster ever. I got a Snapdragon. He was 100% complete. So he had his headmaster and he had his guns. Little bit of yellowing, but not too terrible. I mean, it's more noticeable in the picture that I took than when you actually see it in person. And his wings are a little loose. They kind of droop when you have them in jet mode, but, you know. And the stickers are a little bit worn, but nothing too ugly. And, you know, you can only ask so much from a figure that old. And at the price tag, he was at $75. Hello.
I can't believe you found him for $75. I remember last year I was specifically trying to find him or Ape Face for around $90. And I couldn't find them for less than $120.
Yeah, well, I found them at the parts party, and I had walked over with a Gerodimus Prime. And while I was hemming and hawing over it, he just kept repeating, like, you're not going to find a better price. Like, that's pretty much the best you're ever going to do, and that's really good. And then D-Fuzz showed up, and he's like, oh, what are you looking at here? And like, this for $75. He's like, you're buying it, right? I'm like, I don't know. He's well, if you don't buy it, I'm gonna buy it. And then I'm like, well, let me think about it. He's like, well, hurry up because I want to buy it. And then just like that pressure kind of got me to just pull the trigger and grab it. And then,
all right, y'all want to start something? I'm buying it.
Yeah. Jerks. Then the shock that other people displayed when they found out how much I paid for it kind of just reinforced that, okay, I did the right thing.
No, you did.
But they also had a Bludgeon Pretender complete that looked brand new. It looked like it had just come out of the package for $125.
Ooh.
And so part of my hemming and hawing was, well, do I stick with my original plan of getting a headmaster, or do I spend more money and get this Bludgeon? And I ended up sticking with the headmaster plan.
I still think that was a better plan overall, just because Bludgeon is kind of, if you're going to get objective about it, Bludgeon is a little bit less impressive than especially one of those two Decepticon monster headmasters.
Yeah, I mean, the Snapdragon here, he's pretty burly dude.
Yeah.
His jet load is pretty big. And it's kind of funny, the robot mode, because the arms and legs are the teeth of the monster head. So he's got like these weird jagged arms and legs. But it's pretty cool. And one of the reasons I wanted to get a headmaster was I got those third-party Prime and Soundwave headmasters. And what's the point in having them if there's nothing to ever plug them onto? Yeah. So my original plan was just to get a decent body. Headless body. And then I still almost bought a headless chrome dome that I saw in the dealer room. I was holding it for a good long while, but in the end, decided I was already over budget and I should just not.
I kind of wanted a chrome dome as well, but I hit the same thing. I was like, I'm already, especially with the souvenir toys, I'm already getting close to like 500 some in the hole, and I need to still be able to survive when I get back to Canada, so I should probably hold off.
Yeah, I went hard Friday and Saturday in the dealer room, and then it was like, man, I got to keep money to the side to pay for however I'm going to get back to the airport.
That almost happened to me in 2009.
And then for the airport express back to Petaluma from SFO.
In 2009, I'd actually hit the thing where I was like, I was like, hold on now. I got to actually count to make sure I'll be able to pay my way back to the airport from here, because I'm getting a little bit too crazy.
Yeah, and I think I did a lot better with my food budget this year, though. Like, eating most meals out of Gelson's saved a lot.
And those were good meals, too, I gotta say.
Yeah, good sandwiches, good ham and cheese croissants.
I went right back there and got another sandwich on Monday.
Yeah, I think it was... So I guess it was Saturday when I was really down the sickness. I just kind of ended up by myself for a couple of hours. And I got another sandwich, and I just hung out at Gelson's for a while using their Wi-Fi. And then, you know, luckily, for some reason, we were never able to get the Wi-Fi in the hotel room to work. And so I say luckily because that saved me $10 a day in internet that I would have bought out of compulsion when I was able just to either use my iPhone or go to Gelson's and use Wi-Fi there.
Yeah.
But there was, I think it was on Sunday, like four of us ended up there. Thiefuzz, Crasis, and I think Empire showed up at one point, or maybe Empire was there before and Crasis showed up later. But we were just watching King Lafo videos there. Like, awesome. Drinking Monster Energy drinks and watching King Lafo videos.
Was his Apocalypse video up by then? I forgot. I didn't see it till I got back home. But
I don't know if it was up yet, but that's not one of the ones we watched.
Is that one immediately made me think, man, I wish I had just gone and dumped the $10 on Apocalypse in the dealer room. I'd forgotten about him being there.
Yeah, we watched his Scourge, a.k.a. Deep Space Leroy, and Halo figure reviews.
Nice. Gog, I forgot now. Did I already ask you about any other Transformers?
You did.
Okay. I'll just throw out there that I can't remember if I said this on Sunday or not, but I got a really good deal on all the Perfect Effect stuff I wanted to get. So I got the PX4 with the backpack, Ultimate Force, whatever, of the Sun, the Knight, Ejector, and Rewinder. And then I also got the 2-pack of Ninja and King Bat. So now the only Perfect Effect little toys I need to pick up to have the full run is Shadow Demolitions and the Shadow Pack. So I was really happy to finally fill out the Perfect Effect thing. And I got to agree, the birds I was very interested in. And I think that they turned out... They actually turned out better. Having looked at pictures of them, they turned out better than I expected. But they are also a lot more limited than the humanoid figures. Ninja, I still haven't opened up Ejector and Rewinder, but Ninja is definitely cool. There's not much that needs to be said, because at this point, if you don't have Ninja and you actually wanted Ninja, then you're basically me. And I just got Ninja, so what are you still doing? Slowpoke. And King Bat, almost entirely based on Seth's reactions to King Bat, I was kind of more so looking for the 2-pack, and Gog and Nicole and Andy were there when I was starting to mess with him in my own hotel room. And definitely the highlight of King Bat is that Trident mode, because it gets huge.
And yeah, it's crazy. I was shocked at how big it was.
Me too. Like, when I plugged that sword in and I plug all the stick parts together and stick them on the bottom, I was just like, this thing's pretty big. And the space shuttle mode, I think, is actually pretty cool too. So it's like, I get two good modes out of him. And then I made the bat mode, and I was like, yeah, that sure is a mode. And then I put him back into shuttle mode.
Yeah. Well, as I was telling other people there, it's like, if you get King Bat, get him for the Trident, and then appreciate the space shuttle, and have the bat be something you do once, just so you can see how much it sucks, and then never do it again.
And the bat mode, it's like the bat mode doesn't, there is no... There is exactly one hinge that exists solely for the bat mode. Everything else about the bat mode is just stuff that the toy happens to be able to do. There's the hinge to fold his head down so that his head isn't pointing straight up. That is the single only piece of the entire toy devoted to bat mode. Everything else is just an after effect of the other modes. So bat mode is legitimately forgettable, because it's not, you're not even missing out on engineering with it.
Yeah, the wings are kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just two sticks with a curve at the end. And I don't know, it's just not great. I got the eject and rewinder there at BotCon separately because I'm holding out for the laser beak and buzzsaw colored version of the birds. But seeing other people with them, I mean, I'm looking forward to those other versions because they're much beefier and kind of more solid looking in person.
And their three modes are all worthwhile. Like the bird mode, it's kind of funny looking, but it still kind of does something. And then like the shuttle mode looks
and
cool.
And it's way better than the friggin' bat mode.
Yeah, a million times better.
They're better bats than the bat, and they're supposed to be birds.
I think that when the laser beak and buzzsaw come out, I'm going to go all in on those as well, because it's such a cool idea, and especially with the fact that those pegs and ports are all kind of mech techy as well, and mech tech is just starting to come out. It feels like I can get a lot out of them outside of just plugging them onto commander armors. Gog, just I thought maybe since you were there when I pulled him open, what did you think about King Bat?
I thought that his folded up mode with the like the pole disattached, he totally looks like a little plain dude from like a Japanese vertical shoot 'em up. Yeah. Like he looks like something out of a Gradius game, and I found that kind of amusing. But other than that, I agree. His weapon mode is giant. Like you could give it to a leader figure, and it would still seem huge. Unfortunately, that's like the only draw, really.
Yeah, and being that he tends to be $30 in final value, that's hard to recommend to anybody. In my case, I think that
especially if you already have Ninja.
Yeah.
Like God, dog.
I think in my case, what did it come out to? So there was like six Perfect Effect figures and the backpack for $160. So I paid under $30 each. And that really helped King Bat work out for me, but I also got given a real solid deal on those. So, if you're seeing them online,
I'm a big fan of Perfect Effect.
Yeah. So I've become one, especially after having picked up all those other Perfect Effect toys. I got what was it from Simon from Sol Fury? I got Solar Storm Grappel, and, he's totally that toy with new parts, and he's pretty solid. And I'd say go buy him, but you probably can't because he's probably hard to find. Unless you got a Ross nearby, then you can get him for $10 apparently right now. So,
well,
best of luck.
I have a Ross nearby, and I can't get him for $10 right now.
No, you had those crazy ass green carded GI Joe 2-packs at your Ross. You showed me the twit pic of that, made me freak out.
Yeah, they're from the Spy Changer or the Spy Troop one.
Yeah,
which is like, what, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there?
Really old.
They're almost they've probably been at that Ross for almost 10 years now. But the only Transformers they had were, what were those dopey little cartoony toys they did for the last movie?
Oh, Robot Heroes.
They didn't transform. Yeah. They had the, like, the Devastator with Skids and Mudflap set.
Oh.
They had that, and they had one Sea Spray, and that was all the Transformers that they had.
Damn.
So.
Best of luck to everyone out there who's looking for them, regardless. But, the only other Transformer stuff I still got a little bit here. I got it all in a bin next to me, and I'm trying to peek through here and see what else I can talk about. I got a good deal actually on two of the Power Core Combiner 5 packs I still need. I found the Protectobots and the Destrons, and I managed to get the guy to sell them to me for, he wanted 15 each for them, and I talked down a couple bucks and I got them for 25 total. But then I found out later that apparently I'd missed out on a big deal. A guy had put them out for $10 each and they went super fast. So I was like, damn, I would have liked that better. The Destrons though are actually really cool as a 5 pack. I'm surprised because they have the Swindle Jeep. Only it works. Gog and Nicole and Andy can attest to this. It actually works in the Destrons. The Protectobots, though, are a big old mess. And as a 5-pack, they're a total debacle. As like add-ons to an existing Power Core collection, I think they're fine. But they're definitely not a 5-pack to buy on its own, thinking that this is going to be some great Power Core fun. Because they're all multicolored. I mean, I guess they're going for Defensor colors, only, you know, the combined mode doesn't look anything like Defensor, and there happens to be a tank involved. So, Yeah, that one's more so a booster pack than a standalone. Thanks to a buddy of mine from BC, I got a real nice deal actually on the classic Sons of Cybertron for $50, which is exactly what I wanted to pay for it, given that at the convention everyone wanted between 70 and 90 for it. So that was nice. And I forgot if I mentioned, but I also got Black Animated Rodimus for $70 from the Japanese guys, which was, again, really nice because everyone else at the convention seemed to want 80 to 90 for it, which is right out of my range for that sort of thing. But I found out later from Daniel the Proto Man that apparently $60 for that was basically at cost for whoever was selling it to you. So 70 I thought was fine, like paying them $10 up. I think that's about all I got. Oh, I did want to actually say, I think I mentioned I got the Master Shooter stuff, the Mega Gun and Brown King, but on my way out of BotCon during the final hour or so, I bumped into a huge crew of people from BC, and among them was Vanksta, and he gave me this really cool, like, cross-shaped blue shield and a sword for Classics Prime that he said was something he'd made.
I was hunting around to get one of those. I was jealous of everyone that I saw that got one.
Yeah, he gave it to me as a gift. So I feel kind of bad now.
Well, he was just walking around handing those things out to whoever, wasn't he?
Yeah, as far as I know, he just was like, here.
Josh Perez ended up with one. I know Lupus got one. Lupus was actually the first person I saw with it.
Yeah.
I bumped into him in the dealer room and he was holding it, and I'm like, well, what'd you get there? He goes, oh, this guy just walked up and handed it to me.
It's like, that's Vanksta. the only other major things I want to throw out is a friend of mine off YouTube, Mandy, handed me one of her CDs, and I met what was it, Randall Ng, and he gave me a DVD of stuff he did with Dr. Smoove, and I also finally met Dr. Smoove, so it was really nice to put some faces to those two guys, because they were pretty friendly. I think that's about it. As far as non-Transformers, or as far as Transformers stuff goes, I think I'm...
Well, I got one other little thing to mention.
Oh, good.
So I stuck one of those replacement cup heads on yesterday.
Yep.
And first of all, it's very nice of them to include a little tiny screwdriver. I have a set of screwdrivers that would have worked, but the shortness of the one that it comes with actually is a little easier to get in there with. So that's kind of a nice little addition that it comes with the tool that you need. I like those heads a lot better than the original head. I thought the original head was okay until I actually put on a different one. And they just feel more like cup. And then like the Sigar head is the one that I put on, and that just adds like so much character. That's a good replacement. If you were the type that, because I know some people like actively dislike that head, the original one.
Yeah.
If you actively dislike that head, this is going to be a worthwhile investment for you.
I'm going to try to track that down at TFCon, I think.
That's all right. Now, it comes in two shades. And because the Japanese and the American release are different color, so they sell them in colors for whichever version you have. And so just make sure you get the right colored ones. Yeah. They're not labeled in any way. I mean, they're the little box and wrapped in plastic, and that's it. There's no label to them. There's no explanation. It's just, that's just what it is.
You know what you're buying, so here you go.
Yeah, so make sure you pick the appropriate color if you're getting them. I mean, I'm sure it's easier if you order them from a website, because at least the description should let you know, but like how they were displayed at the TF source table, there was just a case that they were in and they were all lined up and you could just tell that they were different colors. And it's like, oh no, I'm not sure which one I'm supposed to get. Luckily, the guy at the table knew which one was which, and I was able to make sure I got the right one. But, yeah, they're pretty full sculpted heads, and those are eye gear, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I do feel a little dirty about buying something from iGear, but...
Hey, iGear seems to be trying to turn around. I mean, the cup heads were... That's got to be the first iGear thing that I felt actually really good about, was those cup heads. And then you got that Ratchet and Ironhide coming up, which seemed to be fully original. And I'm kind of going like, wow, keep that up. It's cooler than your dinky little Volkswagen Legends Bumblebee that looks all kind of poo.
Yeah, and I still haven't had time to open Flame Blast and Warcry because they came in the late night delivery. And then everything else I got is off topic, so.
Yeah, you got a whole bunch of off topic. I got some off topic too. In fact, I got some off topic from you. I still
have to pay. I got 8 off topic things, and 2 I already mentioned, which were those Marvel figures from Target.
Yeah, let's, I don't know, unless we got any other Transformers to bring up, let's just go into the off topic then. I guess we'll just open up with, well, Seth, you said you got some off-topic stuff, so let's just do it. I mean, we talked about the major one, which was tripling the size of your World War Robots collection over the course of that weekend.
Pretty much. I think I literally did. Oh, no, I doubled it. Because I had 3 before.
Ah, okay.
I had the Big Red, the Engineer Armstrong, and Nom de Plume, and then I got 3 more. And then I was really tempted to get another one on Saturday when they brought more, because we collectively wiped them out on Sunday when they brought more, because by Saturday we had basically wiped them out. I think they only had like 3 left from the original group they brought.
I bet that guy did not expect to sell that many.
Yeah, I was talking to him. He was saying that they always like to bring some for whatever kind of show they're at. You should usually find at least one person that's interested. But when I kept bringing other people back with me, I think that's when they got a little excited. Like, hey, we might be making money here. Let's bring some really cool stuff tomorrow, which they did. Krasis, D-Fuzz, and Empire all got some pretty awesome figures Sunday morning. Before I had a chance to see for myself. They had pretty much wiped out.
Krasis got to mine before I could get there. Damn it.
You know, you got the one with the chain gun, though.
No, I got the double pistols. He got
it was double pistols?
Yeah, he got the machete one. And I was like, I don't know if you're high-end enough for that, Krasis. that's never going
to
get old, by the
way. You also threatened to murder him. I was standing there when you were.
I was worried that the high end thing was going to get old, and then today Krasis dropped the high end thing on Twitter, and I was like, "All right, it's not old. We're going to keep doing it."
Yeah, well, it will get old eventually, but we haven't gotten there yet. It's not yet old. No, but I catch up. I get to that table Sunday, and those 3 are already there, and I see D-Fuzz and Empire holding bags, and I was already like when they told me they were bringing more stuff on Saturday, I was like, "Well, I will come and look." But I think I'm done. I'm like, yeah, that's what they all say. And then these 3 guys made it easier to be done when they pretty much wiped out like the 3 best things that were there. So I catch up to those dudes. I'm like, and Krasis was still finishing his dealings. And I'm like, oh, so what'd you guys get? And Empire shows me his, what did he get? Damn it.
Is he the one who got the large Martin, or was it D-Fuzz? I forgot.
No, they both got large Martins the day before.
Oh, okay.
Empire got the Iron Panda. And I forget what the colorway D-Fuzz got was. But Empire got... Oh, no, he got the Suicide Club Armstrong.
Right, he and Krasis both got stuff I wanted.
Yeah, so he opened that bag, and he's like, oh, I got this Armstrong... with a red fist. I'm like, what? And he opens the bag. I'm like, oh, that's like the coolest one. That's the Suicide Club. He's like, oh, I didn't know it was the coolest one. I just thought it looked cool. Yeah, that's pretty much the coolest one. And then I'm like, what did you get, D-Fuzz? And he goes, oh, I got this shiny black one. I'm like, oh, you got the Night Watch one. That one's pretty awesome because it's not weathered. It's one of the very, very few that they ever did that wasn't all weathered and gnarly. It's like nice and glossy black. And then Krasis comes out, and I'm like, what'd you get? And He's like, oh, I got one of those dirty birds that you and Vangelis like so much. And he opens the bag and I see the machete in the heads. I'm like, oh, dude, Vangelis is going to murder you. He's like, what, what? I'm like, well, that's the one he really wanted. He's like, I thought he got the one he wanted. I'm like, well, he got one, but that's the one. And he's like, oh, no, I feel bad. I'm like, well, we'll just never tell him. Just hide it.
Hide it. some years down the road, he's like, hey, just so you know, now that you've collected all 12 in your mad quest
to feed your disease.
Oh, man.
But yeah. Anyway, we're supposed to be talking about what I got, not what other people got.
Sorry, I felt, you know, I talked to them so often over the weekend. I feel strange talking about what I got without bringing them up.
Yeah. And, no, we just got totally down that rabbit hole. And I was as much to blame as anybody. So I got a couple of Revel Techs. I got the Soltec. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. The
green robot with kind of like a bubble head. The design got reused in Battletech.
The green one. Yeah, the Dugrim thing.
Round Facer H8. Soltec. It says on the box.
Yeah.
Reveltech number 15. Google Reveltech number 15. You'll see pictures and
it'll be it's an wonderful. Old-timey Reveltech.
Yeah, that was $19 at a table. And they had the Spiral Kings mech from Gurren Lagann. But they wanted $99 for it.
Ooh.
I don't think it's worth $99, but Gog, ooh, what do you think?
No.
It's not worth $99.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a $15 toy.
Yeah,
you guys talked me out of buying it for $75 from that one site.
All right.
So I saw it for $99. I'm like, and if everyone's telling me $75 is no good, then yeah. So
no, but $99 is great. It's fantastic.
Well, they had a bunch of other older Revel Techs for like decent prices, like $20 and less.
I don't get that because I mean, Lazengan is not that rare anymore. He had a re-release just a couple months back. I just don't get how he's still so expensive.
Well, I guess he is. He has nobody told anybody that's selling that they're not supposed to be expensive anymore. And then there's another table that had a lot of the sci-fis for $35 each, which is very reasonable in some cases. Mm. And I've been on the fence about the Predator. Like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to get the Predator. But then when I saw it for $35, that seemed a little easier to take a risk on than the $45 to $60 I've seen it at other places. So I grabbed Predator also. And then I really wanted to get the version 2 skeleton, but it was another case of I was at the point where I was really just having to not get anything else because I was spending way too much at that point. So I stamped down the desire to get a second skeleton. And then I think the only other off-topic thing that I got was supplied by message board, super moderator BoardWise, who brought me that Doctor Who All 11 Doctors pack. And he was also my hookup for a wind charger, so... So BoardWise double broed. He was bro-wise for the weekend.
BroardWise?
Yeah, so now I have all 11 doctors. Eee.
Like we said on that recording, they also look a whole lot better than what I'm used to seeing for Doctor Who toys, so I think it made out pretty well.
Yeah, now I have two 11th doctors, so I can pretend one is the doctor from the Rebel Flesh episode. That aired fairly recently.
Don't know what you're talking about because I haven't watched any Doctor Who.
There was an extra Doctor for a little while. I'll just leave it there.
So shall we pass along to Gog Dog?
Why not?
I want to pass along to Gog Dog.
I think the only other two things that I got, well, at BotCon, unless I'm forgetting something, are I got two Revel Techs myself. One of them was I got the version 2 skeleton. There was a
I heard those suck.
Yeah, you did. there was a table, right, that was selling tons of new, brand new Reveltechs, the newer boxed ones, for $30 each. They had all kinds of deals going on. The skeleton was actually $35 for some reason.
Yeah, that was the same place I got the Predator.
Yeah. I think, now this is my theory, which is going to blow up in their face, which is fine by me, but my theory is that they actually kind of priced the skeletons up by $35 because they knew how popular they were. Now, that's kind of silly because apparently they also had 3 Reveltech Jehudis from Zone of the Enders. I kicked myself not too long ago because when I ordered my Rockman X D-Arts figure right before BotCon and got it, when I placed that order, before it shipped, I was going to add in a Reveltech Jehudi. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to get that guy. Let me get him. Oh wait, he's sold out. Let me check some other stores. Oh wait, he's sold out there too. Let me ask my friend Quinjester if he knows any place. He basically tells me I'm SOL unless I want to go to eBay. And on eBay, he was going for anywhere between $40 and $60 before shipping. And I was like, wow, like this was the first Reveltech I've seen in a long time that sold out in pre-order. These guys had 3 of them for $30 each. And when I saw it, I was in the process of paying for the skeleton, and I think I did a triple take. I'm like, wait, what? Like, is this like a sample box? Is this an advertisement? Did somebody like create some sort of 3D model and beam it into my eyes just to troll me? No, like it was legit. And, I showed Quinjester, and I think he plowed through me like a linebacker to pick up the last
one. Get out of my way!
Yeah, we bought the last 2. Yeah, we bought the last 2, and I spoke to at least one other person that knew somebody who had bought another one. So, I can't believe they were selling that cheap. And if they knew what they had, they could have priced those things $10 or $15 more and still sold them.
I think they just straight did the prices on like the Yamaguchi ones were $30 and the sci-fis were $35. And
were all the sci-fis $35? Because they had, I think they were selling aliens for $30 too. I know at the end.
At least the majority were 35 because
okay.
The skeletons, okay. The Predator, Buzz Lightyear, they had a Batman, and some of the not Gamera, but the other monster from Gamera.
Gauss.
Gauss, yeah, those were all 35.
Okay. So yeah, okay, maybe they just I don't know. Either way, they had some really good stuff there for some pretty incredibly cheap prices. So grabbed myself a Jehudi and was messing it pretty much that entire day. Oh, it's such an awesome figure. The paint, it's just this nice blue and orange metallic paint. He's so poseable, comes with lots of cool accessories. Was definitely my steal of BotCon because that ended up costing me between $30 and $50 less than what I would have paid for it anywhere else.
It looked gorgeous too, like yes, especially with that ring on it. That looked super cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool, and I'm just so happy to finally see a lot of this Yoji Shinkawa mecha and character designs finally getting toys, because he's the guy that did all the mecha designs from Zone of the Enders, but also character and mecha designs from Metal Gear Solid. So the fact that and there's another company, I can't remember if it's the name of their company. It's not the company, but they have a line of toy called Rio Robot that I have really no experience with, but I think Quinjester actually has something of theirs from a few months ago, but they actually have announced 2 or 3 different Zone of the Enders figures. I think they're doing the Jehudi and Anubis and the Vic Viper, which I don't think the Vic Viper transforms like it does in the game, but I think it's just the mecha mode. But either way, I'm really excited the fact that these robots that have been popular for years are finally getting toys. And of course now, like all the nice Metal Gear figures from Play Arts, and of course Medicom did some before. I know there's been other companies that did some action figures in the past, but you know they were kind of limited and haven't been around for a while. So
and we got and
then of course. Of course, yeah, of course, Ashley Wood
is a huge Metal Gear fan because he did the American Metal Gear comics. He's actually been officially associated with the license for some time. So it makes sense that he got the license on his own right to make toys from his own company. And then, of course, the 3A doing the Metal Gear Rex and Ray, which I'm super excited about. So it's just been a good year for Yoji Shinkawa fans. I'm really happy. But the Jehudi tent turned out really, really nice. And I hope that they do Anubis, too, because they kind of go hand in hand. Anubis is like the evil, more powerful version of Jehudi from the games, and he looks really, really rad. So, but then the skeleton is cool, too. I was kind of surprised it didn't have any of the clicky joints, but I don't think that's necessarily a negative against the figure. I still need to play with him a little bit more. Obviously, I had grabbed him first, and then when I saw the Jehudi, he unfortunately got pushed to the side a little bit. So I need to spend more time with him, but I'm very happy with both of those purchases.
Yeah, all his joints are really tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, which is good, because it fits in so good with the skeleton bones and stuff. It's really hard to even see the joints in there. So they did a good job of placing those joints so that you couldn't see them. They blend in well with the bones. But, yeah, I'm really happy with both of those. I was actually surprised when I had seen that they were doing a version 2 skeleton a month or two ago when I had first seen it. Because I was kind of bummed that I didn't really get on that. Because it's just that one of those things. I mean, you probably don't have a bunch of huge Jason and the Argonauts fans, but it's just one of those things where you don't have to be. It's a damn skeleton knight. There's been skeleton knights throughout all sorts of fantasy and sci-fi stuff. So that's something really anybody can enjoy. And I think that's just one of those little gems that. Kind of like the Reveltech Dan board. Like so many people bought those. They ended up doing like three waves of the figures years later. Three more releases because everyone buys it and they don't know what it is. It's just one of those things where they create a figure that it doesn't matter whether you're familiar with the source material or not, that you're just going to have tons of people buying it just for the fact of the way it looks. So I'm glad that... I'm actually kind of glad I got the version 2 because I think the Medusa Skull Shield is probably my favorite out of all four shields. So I'm glad that I ended up getting it. But I'd say if you have the version 1 and you're not looking to get a second skeleton, you'll probably be fine with the first one because really I think the only difference is the shields. Am I right, Seth?
Yeah, as best as I could tell. I mean, I looked at yours a little bit. I didn't see any other notable changes. Maybe... the color of the skeleton itself is slightly different, but not enough to have been noticed.
Yeah,
I don't think it is, but but as best as I could tell, otherwise they're the same.
Yeah. Oh, the only other thing that I can remember that I got. Sorry, I'm just still recovering from this weekend, so there's still a good possibility.
And we're also kind of sick, so yeah. We got lots of cover here.
So
speaking of.
Fellow TFW moderator X Junkie came up to me in the deal room. He's like, "Dude, I got a surprise for you." I'm like, "What? Wait, really? You got something for me?" He's like, "Yeah, reach in the bag." I'm like, "Okay." So I reach in the bag and I pull out a pink plush Domo. I'm like, "Okay, like, yeah, like, I guess he know. I mean, I guess it. I don't know. I mean, I guess he knew that I like Domo and stuff. Like, I'm not the world's biggest fan, but I definitely get a kick out of him. So, that was really awesome. And, like, we had him back in the room. And I think it was... it might have been Derek was saying that it looked like it was Domo except shaved.
Yeah, he said shaved. And then somewhere in the midst of that, we went more so towards skinned.
Yeah, like, what was the one character from Super Meat Boy that... I don't remember.
Yeah,
it might have actually been just Super Meat Boy. Because he's the one that has no skin, but the other one was made out of poop. I don't remember. He definitely looks like a character from that game, for sure. But no, it's just one of those things where would I have ever bought it on my own? Probably not. But the fact that it was a gift from someone that was really excited to give it to me, it puts it up like 10 levels of awesome for me. So it just, I was more entranced by the fact that X Junkie was so excited to give me this figure or this plush. It's like, that was, I don't know, it was like awesome. Like, he came up to me like grinning, like, he's like, "Dude, I've been looking for you." So it's like,
it's kind of awesome. So thank you very much, X Junkie. Like, I will forever have a little pink plush Jomo, and I'll never be able to get that the image of that grin you had on your face out of it whenever I think about it.
Did you see the booth that was selling those?
Yeah, and wasn't that also the same booth that had, like, the 3-foot Domos on either side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a few people walking around with those over the course of the weekend. I saw a little girl with the one that had, like, the bones, like the skeleton pattern over the top of it.
Yeah, that was one of the Halloween ones. I actually have one of those. He's dressed in a removable pumpkin suit.
It was just funny to see, like, this 6-year-old girl walking around with that one.
If that's all you got for the off topic, I just got a little bit left myself. First up, I got to throw out there that Seth came by at BotCon with a bag with Annihilus and Thanos in it and was like, just pay me later. I don't want to take this home. So I still have to pay him later for those. That's on record.
Yeah.
And they're pretty cool. And I know that a lot of folks who were in the room tended to want to take a look at them as well. And I was really surprised by how cool Annihilus looked, because I had seen pictures of the Build-A-Figure and I'd never really seen it in person. And I just always assumed he was going to look like kind of like a chintzy Hasbro Marvel Legends toy.
Oh, that was a Build-A-Figure?
Yeah, that's why he
was that
so
from
huge.
Marvel Legends then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was a Marvel Select, just like the Thanos.
No, he's a Build-A-Figure. And that's why I'd kind of just never wanted to get him, because I was like, I don't want the other figures that I'd have to buy to build them. So I just never thought.
Yeah,
about
that
it.
Was when I was really buying Legends like nuts. So it just was going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah, and he's really neat. The wings are gigantic.
Yeah, and luckily they're removable for when you have to not have something so gigantic around.
Exactly. And I also at the Target, I decided to try to be cool like Seth. So I also bought myself a Captain America figure, because they still had a bunch there. I looked at the Thor toys to see if any of them would call out to me, but I was kind of like, I don't know, for some reason.
Yeah, I just got Loki, because it seems pretty apparent that Loki is going to be also in the Avengers.
Yeah,
but I mean, that Thor line is pretty weak. Proto Man and Derek J. Wyatt and I talked about the disparity, that's a new word, between like how they did Iron Man, Thor, and how it looks like they're going with Captain America, and how it's just like the Thor line is basically loads of Thors,
yeah,
and a couple Lokis, and that's about it. They did an Odin. Did they do a Destroyer?
Destroyer's coming. He's there's pictures of him.
Okay. But unlike with Iron Man and Captain America, there's no comic style figures in the line.
Yeah.
And my theory kind of broke down to, with both movies coming out this year, they were going to overlap. So with Thor being first, and then Captain America, you wouldn't want to overrun Thor on top of the Captain America stuff. And if Captain America is going to be hanging around later, then that's probably the one that you make the bigger release, like the more filled out line. And then they probably also like had to gamble, like we're only going to throw our weight behind one of these two. Which one do we think is going to be more of an impact? Which one is going to be the more popular movie? Are we going to bet on Thor? Or are we going to bet on Captain America? And it's like they're betting on Captain America.
And I guess for the better, because, you know, when you, especially with this whole thing they're doing of touching on other captains and stuff, and anyone with a shield and whatnot, there's, I think, a wider variety they can do with Captain America. Like case in point, the one I picked up, I hadn't seen it before, and then when I was flipping through the pegs, what really stuck out to me visually was the comic series Captain Britain. So I grabbed him, because he's got just really metallic red paint and blue paint all over his costume design.
Did they have that at Target?
Yeah, comic series Captain Britain was there.
Oh, they must have put it out later, because they did not have that when we were there.
Yeah, there were like three of them, so I went digging through them looking for ones with better paint. And that's the one problem with him is that the white stripes on his chest are always going to be kind of like pink because they're painted over the red. But he's really cool. The only problem I have with him is that, well, he's got a really superfluous missile launcher that's literally right out of the Iron Man 2 line because nobody got enough of those. But he does come with Excalibur, which is really cool. The only real problem with him is that he's got a weird variation of the Iron Man hips in that they're like a universal joint, but the stem of the joint plugs upwards into his waistline rather than sideways into his groin. So making him move his legs forward is really tricky. But that aside, he's got thigh swivels, he's got double joints, he's really well done. All the ball joints are really solid, nothing's loose or gummy. So I'm actually quite happy with him. Although he does not come with a stand. And I would have been cool melting down the missile launcher into a stand if it had to come to that. Because the missile launcher is completely pointless. It's like the missile launcher's gold and Britain blue, like royal blue. And it I don't know why he needs it, because it's an Iron Man one, so it looks like a piece of Tony Stark technology. I'm like, why does Captain Britain even have this? It's not even his. It's Iron Man's. But whatever. He's got Excalibur. And then the only other off-topic thing I think I got, I already talked about, was the birdie that I picked up, who survived the trip home quite well. I was just telling Seth before we recorded, I've been really impressed with how, in particular, the ones with articulated hands, the 3A toys, like, I've had an Armstrong sent to me loose, and now I've sent a birdie to myself basically loose in my luggage, and all you gotta do is you gotta wrap the hands in something, and then just wrap the toy in, like, even just paper. And it will survive a trip. I was really impressed with that. So, props and kudos. There was one other thing I got. I keep forgetting about it. I got I got this from Captured Prey. I picked up the Kabaya Gaia Cross thing, the Land Cross upgrade. I haven't built it yet. That's why I forgot about it. And just a couple other things I got this week, which were things that came in the mail while I was gone.
And one more thing.
Yeah,
I got like Steve Jobs on this. Meth or something.
One more thing. $30 operating systems. It's the future.
And also one more thing.
While I was away, Warpath showed up. So thank you, Thorazine, on Twitter, of Fallen Empire Toys. So I got home literally to a box with Warpath in it. So Warpath is pretty cool, and I'm glad I got him. Also, I got my high-end Bruce Lee toy. Who is really expensive and is in a giant, really gorgeous box. And because, especially with my Balkan haul here, my living space is so disgustingly cluttered, I don't even want to open a Hot Toys figure in this mess. So I just popped them open in time to check out the posable eyeballs, and they're pretty creepy. And in that box also was Heinrad, who I haven't even opened yet. But, you know, he was $35 all over Balkan, and mine was $25 from Big Bad, so haha. And also, I got the Big Bad Toy Store exclusive Hardhead head robot set, but I don't remember where my Hardhead went because I never even opened it because I was waiting to get that set, and I got to find where that went. And also, I got some Figmas because this is some Bugman stuff. But Figma has been doing a certain Kamen Rider series, and they had 6 riders left to go. They delayed their figures like by months, so I thought it was still just going to be 1 or 2 figures a month. This month, all 6 remaining figures they had shown are all coming out this month, and the first 3 showed up, and I still have to pay for the other 3. I have,
ouch, that hurts.
Yeah, I know, because all 6 came out this month, just in time for BotCon. So, like, I am actually scrambling to finish up some videos on some stuff. I actually, like, I have a couple Kamen Rider motorcycles that are superfluous. They're now doubled up. So I'm just going to do some quick comparison videos and then sell those as soon as possible to actually pay for the other 3 Figma Kamen Riders that I got a payment request for while I was at BotCon. But, Gog, you can imagine what the price of 6 Figmas is.
Yeah, there's a couple Figmas I want, and I'm having trouble paying for them one at a time.
Yeah, and these pre-orders, this whole line was going to be 2 Figmas a month, and then there was a month where nothing happened because they delayed them, and they just kept delaying them. So all of us thought they were just going to delay the whole thing and keep it at 1 or 2 per month. Then they just dumped all 6 of them this month, and I was like, good God! Like, I still like them, but the AmiAmi pre-orders, you know, I made them thinking it was going to be 2 per month, and I can't really back out of them now, so I got to do a little bit of scrambling. But I also got a couple exclusive ones. I mostly just want to share this one picture of this one because this thing is actually pretty enormous. But it's a repaint of an existing one from a film where he got gold in the middle and then grew six wings. And these wings are actually pretty gigantic. Each wing is taller than the actual figure, and he looks very impressive on display. So that's about all I got. I also actually got I have one more thing! Was a loose Universe Onslaught in preparation for the TFCon exclusive headmaster thing. But that's all I got, I think.
Oh, on that Winter Soldier figure, when you saw it in package, you were asking how the how the little thrusters pop out from the jetpack?
Yeah.
They're not spring-loaded. They just fold up.
That's still
cool. So the little red thruster parts fold into the arms, and then the arms fold down against the rest of the backpack.
But it all becomes, so like, really... Like you...
Yeah, it just turns into, like, this big kind of rectangular backpack.
I like that.
But it's not like it springs open and everything flips out.
Yeah. Whatever. I like that it folds up that much. Yeah. I was considering picking him up, but then I was like, I don't know if I like Winter Soldier enough to want to buy it right now. And I like Captain Britain. So I went with Captain Britain. He can actually hold Excalibur with two hands in some poses. I was really impressed because I'm not used to that with Marvel toys. So
any problems? Yeah, I already have two Captain Britains now. I don't know if I would get that one if I saw it, but I might just because it's like, keep the Captain Britain train rolling.
Yeah, just if you get it. Just
pretend they're all from other dimensions, like in Cross Time Caper, when they just kept encountering other versions of Captain Britain over and over again.
Well, if you do they pick it up...
They should do the Nazi Captain Britain someday. That'd be good.
If you pick it up, or if anyone out there picks up the single-pack Captain Britain, be sure to check out the paint, because I did check through all three. You're probably not going to find ones where the white lines on his chest are white, but... You know, try to find the whitest looking ones and then check his eyes as well, because his eyes are painted white inside his helmet, but a whole lot of them had red paint bleeding down and making it look like his eyes were bleeding, which was not very cool, unless you're into that. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's like with that Kmart exclusive 3-pack that has Captain Britain, Captain America, and Red Guard. Red Guardian, from looking at like the 8 boxes they had, trying to find the 2 best ones for myself and for Proto Man. The star on his chest, the white star, tends to have little fleckles and splotches of other colors mixed in. It's kind of hard to find a white, clean star.
Yeah. Also, just because this is mostly for GOG, in that box with the one with the wings, I also got this, which was a new version of the one with the fedora and the scarf, with a more accurate head sculpt and a matte finish and et cetera, et cetera. So now I also have, 4 6-inch scaled fedoras, and I don't know what to do with all of them.
You could put one on Bruce Lee.
Is that the famous skull re-release that's slightly different?
Yeah, he comes with, his whole head sculpt's been updated to be a little bit more like the suit, and then he comes with a crystal head, and then all the black and everything is matte finished, which looks a lot cooler than the shiny black. He also comes with a little clear plastic skull cap so that if you're in a humid climate, the silver paint from one of his heads won't come off and adhere to the inside of his hat. But I actually can't get the hat to stay on his head with those little skull caps on, so I just left him in the box. And I think we're done with what... Oh, no! There was one other thing! Sorry. This was a Target thing, and this was a total impulse buy, and people are probably going to say, man, Vangelis, you're stupid for buying that. It's a ripoff. But for $20, they had these Target-exclusive Star Wars Vintage Collections special sets. So they're all, like, 70s-style packaging, and it's a box of 3 figures for $20. So I bought the villain set that comes with a Stormtrooper, Darth Vader, and the Death Squad Commander, because I don't have any new Star Wars toys. And I had someone on Twitter telling me that the Stormtroopers in particular have been getting really good. So I picked this up, and I only checked out the Stormtrooper and Darth Vader because I don't really care about the Death Squad Commander. He looks a lot like, someone on Twitter said, he looks a lot like Rick Moranis. But the Stormtrooper is really poseable. Apparently, he's actually just the sand... There was a dewback riding sand trooper, and all they did was remove all his sand trooper stuff in his backpack, and apparently that's what this is. But it's a good figure. And the Darth Vader has a removable 2-part helmet and everything. And he's really cool, except that he has a T-crotch. And I really hate T-crotches. But he's otherwise such a good figure, I can let that slide.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah, that's right. And the Stormtrooper has, like, universal hinges, but they're also on a V-crotch, which is really demented. So Star Wars is still really weird, but I actually like this 3-pack quite a bit. And apparently, if you're like me and you have not bought Star Wars toys at all, these Target 3-packs are pretty cool. There's also, like, a set with, there's a hero set where you get, like, Ben Kenobi, Han Solo, and X-Wing pilot Luke. And then there's a Rebel set where you get a Rebel Commander and Leia from Hoth, and then that robot that works the back-to-tank, whatever it's called, 2-1-B. I don't know. It's the one with the pipe coming out of his face. Looks kind of weird. So now I'm all done! That took a little while, but we were just at a convention, so this was going to take a while no matter what we did. And hey, you know what? I'm just checking our time. This is still pretty much on par with a lengthy what we got, so I think we did pretty well. So pats on the back all around on this podcast.
Well, I went looking for a picture of the Nazi version of Captain Britain to link to you guys, because that's like the most ridiculous Captain Britain, I think. But just looking at all the versions of Captain Britain, I just want like a Captain Britain line now.
Yeah.
Because I really want Captain Empire, because he has a pith helmet and a monocle and a big giant mustache.
That sounds real high end.
I'll send you the link. Nice. He's, well, it's definitely a high-end mustache. Or Rizzle. I would get a 6-inch Captain Empire any day of the week. I could say that with all confidence, because I know there will never be a 6-inch Captain Empire.
You just wait. One day it's going to... Oh, wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. He's all squinting like he's going pip-pip. The Captain Britain of Earth 741. Anyway, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to intermission all of you listeners, and then we'll be back with some other stuff, because we do have some other stuff we can talk about. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a sec.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through when Captain...
Hi everyone, we're back, and let's just put a little end cap ringer on our BotCon talk for this episode. I just want to throw out that overall, I quite enjoyed myself at the show. For all, it had its ups and it had its downs, but it was definitely a fun time. And on the purely the fun pub end of things, as I said, I think that they really hit the toy side of this out of the park. It was very well done, and I wanted to just once again throw a little shout and thanks to Pete Sinclair, because thanks to him, I got to do that script read thing. And it was really nice of him to find me and go like, hey, you want to do this? So I always kind of pump up Pete Sinclair a little bit on here, but I wanted to take a moment again to pump up Pete Sinclair, because the poor guy, I think, does not get nearly the thanks he kind of warrants for the work he does. Not even just so much at BotCon, but outside of and around BotCon, when he's running all over the place on the web and keeping stuff moving, it's always something where I kind of go like, Pete, good job, pat in the back, go get him, Slugger.
Yeah, seeing Pete at BotCon, he always has this look of he's exactly 5 minutes late.
Yeah.
He just has this look of like, I need to not be here anymore, I need to be somewhere else.
I also wanted to throw out, I've been reading online that there were a lot of folks who weren't at BotCon who felt this year's was very disappointing because they didn't get much news out of it. And I posted this on the board, and I don't know if there are any responses, but I saw that, and I was kind of like, this year's Hasbro panel is the big thing for any, like, the Hasbro panel is basically what people care about. The panel and the cabinet are all that people care about if they are not attendees of the show. And from a non-attendee perspective, I think that this show actually wasn't... I don't think the show was any weaker than 09's was, when there were almost no new toy reveals due to Revenge of the Fallen having an embargo out. But I thought that as an attendee, there were actually some pretty good reveals, because the stuff we got to see during the Hasbro panel, like getting to see those you know, the Prime toys in design stage form and stuff like that, I thought it was actually, there were some pretty cool reveals this year. But I can definitely say that, you know, it probably wasn't as cool for non-attendees, but... I think that 09 was still weaker than this year for non-attendees, but I wanted to quickly throw it out for either of you guys to, if either of you had any thoughts on that kind of thing. Because, I mean, you know, it's always going to be different for non-attendees, but I thought 09's was still weaker.
I mean, that Sunday panel last year, that was going to be a hard act to follow.
Yeah.
Because it was just, it was so much. It was like, here's Megatron as a gun. Here's Trax and Jazz and everybody else. And Jazz has speakers that flip out. And it was just ridiculous. It was just like, Straxus and just everything, Thunderwing, and it's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. So, I mean, how do you follow that in a movie year? You can't.
Yeah. I was just trying to remember if 09 somehow still had more than this year, but I'm really sure this year we had
more. It did, because like the amount of stuff that we got this year was enough to fill what used to be just the Saturday panel, and then they would bring in all the cool stuff on Sunday.
Hmm.
It just, like, because in 09, wasn't that the year that we got Bludgeon at the end? I'm pretty sure that was in 09, right?
Was it Sunday or... No, I think it was Saturday that they revealed Bludgeon.
Yeah, but I just mean that year, though. Wasn't that 09? Because it just they showed us, like, a couple of cool things. Like, and then they dumped even more stuff on Sunday, like Leader Starscream and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, out of the three BotCons that I've been to this year, just as far as like new toy reveals, was easily the weakest. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean the convention as a whole was bad, but
well, it was almost exclusively movie stuff.
Yeah, like, but even like the movie stuff they revealed, like one out of three panels, it seemed like was. Well, we're going to reveal this in July, because it's a spoiler and we can't officially talk about this yet. And so,
yeah,
like,
but
even,
I think
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, a movie reveal is different than, like, a classics thing, because when you're revealing classics and you have characters like Bludgeon that really hasn't had a toy since the original, or Straxus or Thunderwing or any of these others, like, that look like what people remember and what people think of. Like, Jazz looks like kind of what you think of when you think of Jazz. You don't necessarily think of movie Jazz. So when, even if they're revealing movie characters with names that we remember, they don't look like what we remember. So I think like a classics reveal has much more impact than the same character as movie style.
Well, yeah, but so, I'm just trying to remember like the amount of stuff that they showed us, like that we were excited about.
Yeah.
And the only thing they really showed us was some Prime stuff, which was cool. But they even said, like, I mean, this, I'd be surprised if some of this stuff is even released before BotCon next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just the amount, and like I said, they still had stuff that we haven't seen yet, but it was just embargoed because of the movie. So what would normally be a here's some stuff you've never seen before. It's going to drop your jaws down to the floor. They're like, they show us like a word bubble that says to be shown in July. So, I mean, we'll be seeing this stuff at Comic-Con because the movie will be out by then, but it's, I don't know. It just, I mean, it's not necessarily a negative. I understand why. It's an off year. You can't blow people away with crazy news every year. But that being said, this was the weakest year in 3 years, I think.
I just, for some reason, had always attributed all those Revenge of the Fallen reveals to 2010, and I don't know why. I think it's because I'd forgotten that in 09, the ROTF line had actually come out. So I'm thinking of the first movie year. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, I might be wrong about some of
this
stuff.
No, you're right, because it wasn't last year, and it had to be 09, because that's when Bludgeon came out. So I was misattributing the reveals of, because I was thinking about the first movie lines reveals when we got nothing until the toys came out. So I'm in pre podcast days with what I'm thinking about. But I thought it did balance out okay with the cabinet, especially if you were into stuff they were showing in the cabinet, mostly because like there were Human Alliance toys they revealed in the cabinet that they didn't even reveal on the slideshow, like specifically that red motorcycle, never even came up in the slides, and I don't know why. But anyway, that was just one thing I wanted to tackle. Was, you know, there was a lot of like, this is the worst BotCon ever, and I was kind of going like, I don't know, I think others have been worse, but my memories are also all crisscrossing now, so I might be thinking of a BotCon from a far longer time ago than what we're thinking of now. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else BotCon wise I wanted to throw out there. I mean, the comic book I wanted to say was great, and Marcello did an awesome job on it. And I think that this year, after our discussions, like I think I was a little, I might have been a little overly negative about stuff on Sunday, but in hindsight, I think it is definitely true that this year, I think, really showed a lot of people who are in high enough positions in both FunPub and IDW that animated actually does have quite a following, if not at least quite a loud following. I'm not sure if it means it has enough of a following to be financially viable, but it definitely has a louder following than I think anyone in those positions of power had been expecting. So I think that was quite a positive thing to take away from this year myself.
Yeah, it was just really funny.
It was to
see
me too.
How surprised they were to see that people were more excited for animated than they were, say, Shattered Glass.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like,
well, I was kind of chuckling because, I mean, every time I'd say that, you know, just leave it. Every time I said that on Twitter to anyone in IMs, they'd always reply going like, yeah, but isn't it obvious animated is popular given any cursory glance at a message board? And I was like, well, yeah, that's the funnier side of it for sure. You know, that the surprise was there. But, you know, I was putting myself outside of my own knowledge, and I was like, you know, at the end of the day, it is only a positive thing that at least now those folks are aware that animated has its following, and is worth looking at again sometime. Because there were some people who were telling me, like, there's some people on Twitter who were mad about, you know, the no more animated quotes coming out of the club panel. And so I told them, you know, that on the bright side, it seems that since that panel, some folks' eyes may have been opened, and, you know, the chance is no longer zero. It's a percentage again. But I would also caution, you know, don't expect, like, animated toys next year. It's going to be, like, I'd say at least 12 or 14 months until anything solidifies. If anyone does come back to animated, it'll be a while still. But it was nice, I thought. I don't know. What about you guys?
Yeah, hey, more animated is always good. I will say, though, that as they go on with animated, because the thing with animated is, animated's done from an official standpoint. So we're not going to get any new animated molds. So the only thing they can do is give us more repaints. I think in this case with the Stunticons, it actually really worked. But that was also from a story perspective. The Stunticons were supposed to be Decepticons posing as Autobots, posing as Decepticons. So it would only make sense that they would all be in Autobot protoforms. So it made sense why they all kind of looked like existing characters from that. And I'm sure, I mean, there's other ways that they could do that, or even give us existing characters with maybe new paint schemes or something, but there's only so many times, I think, that they can keep repainting animated characters in it. It being pulled off as well as it did this year, I think.
Well, for sure, and there's one, I think, that I think Razor Saw on Twitter mentioned. It might have been him, it might have been someone else. There's one real easy one they could do if they can do a head remold. Aside from Junkions, taking Lugnut and doing him up as Skybite is pretty much...
Sure, yeah,
it's
yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
I'd say there's at least a couple club exclusives you can get out of animated, if not a box set that is very haphazardly done. But
yeah.
That's all, and that's all I really
Shattered
want.
Shattered Glass animated.
Oh. Well, Derek's all up for Shattered Glass animated. Now, yeah, I was telling people, like, you know, that's out of season 4's information. So if they do it, you know, it's out of season 4. I'm cool with that if they want to do it. That would be a way to make Shattered Glass a lot more interesting to me than it is right now. Because it's really, like, classics Shattered Glass has kind of... Someone on Twitter put it really well. They said, like, Galvatron really finished it because that's where that story ended as far as the comics went. The last time we really saw the Shattered Glass universe was Galvatron arising and saving everybody. So, you know, they kind of capped it even in a toy sense, and it feels like a perfect time to move on. Shattered Glass Beast Wars, I just found really uninteresting. Shattered Glass animated, at least it's got a reason to me to exist more so. I'd be cool if they did it, but I'd rather they go places like Skybite first. Like, if you're going to go at animated two more times, make Shattered Glass the third one rather than the second one. But that's just me. Yeah, anyway, any other BotCon thoughts before we drop it for now? We all got hell of a
second. I mean, I agree with GogDog about how you can only milk animated for so much at this point. I mean, until we get to that point in the future where the kids of animated grow up and become the main core of collectors, and animated gets its resurgence, assuming that ever happens. But it seems like we're getting really close to the edge of a big Beast Wars resurgent.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to get to the other side of that before we see a second coming of animated.
Yeah, and they play with that every once in a while, like the Universe classics we got, like the Meth Kitty and the Dinobot. And every once in a while, they'll do like a little Beast Wars homage like that. They kind of tinker, and I mean, of course, the 10th anniversary, but that was 5 years ago, so they kind.
Well, I was told by somebody who talked to some Shout Factory people over the weekend that they're very surprised how the recent Beast Wars DVDs are selling, and that seems to be indicating that there's a growing demand for beasts. So. I mean, we'll see. Time will tell. I'm not looking forward to it personally.
Ooh.
I mean, I thought Beast Wars was okay, but I mean, I didn't really collect Beast Wars, and I prefer vehicle Transformers. So
he's got to wait till we get to
it.
The,
might be
we got to get to the Beast Machines resurgence, and you'll get some Vehicons. You can go through the 90s all over again. Like you're waiting through all the beasts to get to the vehicles.
I mean, if that's the way things go, then it's going to be a dark age for me and my collecting.
Oh, man. I love cycles.
Motorcycles? They're pretty cool.
What about motorcycles made out of kangaroos?
I might be interested in that.
Good man. Let's go into some new picks, because some pictures did come up over the course of the weekend. And there was one in particular I had a long discussion on Twitter about, because I was completely uneducated as to what it was, and I was like, what's the big deal? And, you know, had to be told what the big deal could be, and I still didn't feel it was that big a deal. But I'm sure it'll come up over the course of this new pick section. GogDog, what is a new pick you'd like to pick out?
I would like to pick out... I think this might be the first time ever I've done something from iGear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, credit where credit is due. But I'd actually kind of like to bring up the iGear not Impactor.
Now, what's his name? Because he has the best name ever.
Oh, hold on.
Let me Presser.
See. Presser.
He doesn't impact, he presses.
So slow and steady wins gentle. The race. I guess they're trying to improve upon him. But, man, where did he go?
There's something about him that I didn't realize right away, which was pointed out to me, which actually made me a bit less interested in him. I still think he looks neat.
Is that the fact that he transforms exactly like Warpath?
The fact that he's basically Warpath, yeah. I didn't notice that right away until someone pointed out, and I was kind of like, oh, why'd you tell me that? Because I find it so much less interesting now. Like,
iGear.
Yeah, it's just, you come off of this, I mean, I am assuming their Ratchet and Ironhide are fully 100% original, so it's kind of like, you come off that, then you deliver this Impactor who looks so cool, and then you look at it, you squint at it, and you kind of like, oh no, wait, it's a reshelled Warpath, and I'm kind of like, you know, it's not like it's horrible, it's not like as egregious as the Seekers or as that Volkswagen Bumblebee, but it's, when it's iGear, it makes me kind of go like, oh, a little bit more than anyone else, I think, but...
Yeah, but God, I mean, God dang, does he not look just like Impactor? I mean,
the head sculpt.
They did a good job. Well, the head sculpt, everything, the cannon on his on his shoulder, the chest, I'd say maybe the color could be a little less yellow and a little less orange, but that could be just be the color balance on the photo, but it looks really good. He did kind of does kind of transform exactly like Warpath, and his tank mode doesn't look exactly like it did in Last Stand of the Wreckers, which is the version that this is based off of, obviously.
Yeah.
The red bits on his knees on the in the Wreckers version. Those actually become a bit of a cow catcher thing on the front. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't transform exactly the same, but, you know, I guess just, nitpicky.
It
looks like they do. Did you have two kind of faux ones up front? They look like they're from the back of his legs or something.
I mean, I'll support that nitpick, though, because when you make that toy and then you choose to reskin and, you know, Warpath to do it, you've just hamstrung your ability to do stuff like that because you're following a pre-existing path. And that's exactly why I wish they didn't do that, because, you know, it will limit your design inherently. No matter how many parts of it you change, if you keep the skeleton of it, those parts can only change so much. And when you're doing something like Impactor, it's kind of like, well, you know, go nuts with it, because there's nothing to prejudge him against. So why box him into that role of being a Warpath ripoff almost? Yeah. And you know, I'm so of two minds about it, because I'm like, I love Last Stand of the Wreckers. I think it's very smart that they seem to be, because some head sculpts came up as well, and they've done up head sculpts for a whole bunch of Last Stand of the Wreckers characters. And I'm
I saw the guzzle and the...
Yeah, and those head sculpts look great, and it's very smart. A lot of fans love Last Stand of the Wreckers. If I were in charge of iGear, I'd say, we should tap this because nobody else is going to for a long time. And that's where I'm like, that's a great choice, but I certainly hope this isn't indicative that, you know, I hope that this is hopefully the only one of those that is a reshelling, because... I would feel really bummed if they do up all the Last Stand of the Wreckers cast, and then they're all just existing toys reshelled like that. I mean, if it was a BotCon set, you know, that's how it works, and I'd be fine with it. But since it's a third party, and one who's demonstrated that they're now starting to go out into doing original molds, it's like, why do that? Why box yourself in? I have more to say, but I'll back off for a sec.
Is there any word yet on how much this is going to cost? Because I didn't see it myself, but
I've only seen a release date of fourth quarter this year.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I'm no big fan of iGear. I mean, I think you have companies like Fans Project who, at the very least, create everything on their own. And with iGear, like even like with this, you know, I mean, yeah, they're kind of using, they're taking someone else's transformation, but I think it was me and you that were talking about this at BotCon, or maybe even before, but how iGear basically have used like the seekers that they've, like the Conehead Seekers and some of their other, like a Faith Leader, which are basically straight knockoffs of existing designs with some minor tweaks, and how they're claiming that they're using that to fund this. And it's like, well, like they're still basically saying, it's like, yeah, we'd love to make something new, but in order to make something new, we have to steal first before we can go legit. And then you have companies like Fans Project who never really do that. I mean, of course, there's a gray area because they're using other people's characters, I know, but just from a manufacturing perspective, everything they create is original. So I don't know. I will say, if this is not crazy priced, I may give it a shot just to give them a fair shake.
Yeah.
But it's gonna have to be pretty reasonable for me to jump on this, and because I still feel kind of icky.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the same boat. Like, it's, you know, I want to support. I'm way more interested in supporting that Ironhide and Ratchet than this, because that is, as far as I could tell, fully original. Whereas this is like. Almost, this just feels like a step back, and I don't know, I got a thing I want to say, but I'm gonna wait still.
Yeah, well, like what Gog just said about feeling kind of icky, like, I had completely forgotten that those cup heads were iGear until I noticed the iGear emblem on the lid of the box, and then I was like, ew. Oh, well, I'll get over it.
Well, Seth, what do you think about Presser, or not Impactor?
I like his colors, because they're borderline violently ugly, but, the face sculpt is cool. I mean, I like that. I didn't really look at it too much. I mean, I was looking at it just earlier, trying to decide on a pick for myself, but, yeah, I mean, it has potential. It's just, I don't know. I'm not really interested in picking him up myself, and that's regardless of the iGear connection, and that's regardless of kind of boosting the transformation, but it's just not a character that I'm very familiar with, and the big, huge price tag that he's likely going to have kind of puts him out of my range of interest.
My biggest thing about this right now, once I put aside all my feelings on, you know, the originality versus etc., is that I think this is why I think they shouldn't have shown this right now. It's number one, it's not coming out till fourth quarter, so it's going to be ages until this comes out. And if there's one company I always think of when it comes to, you know, basically vaporware toys, it's iGear, who always shows stuff way the hell too early. And, you know, sometimes they show stuff that doesn't even materialize, like the Magnus armor, when they said, like, hey, it turns out that it was crap, so we didn't make it. And so between that, and also they have just racked up so much goodwill and massive hype off that Ironhide and Ratchet. I don't even see why they needed to say anything about this, because they have everybody's attention right now, and everyone's going to be looking at them until that Ratchet and that Ironhide come out. There was no reason whatsoever to start talking about things they're doing in fourth quarter, because they have everyone's attention already. And then when you show something you're doing in fourth quarter, and it looks like you're cribbing another transformation sequence, it's messing up the good faith that I felt they had built with me from that Ratchet and Ironhide. And I'm kind of like, you know, you guys shouldn't have shown that. You should have waited till Ratchet and Ironhide came out and then said, hey, now we're doing this next. Because, you know, you compare again to Fans Project, who's really good about doing their reveals in a very balanced and controlled way most of the time is Fans Project, because they're like, here's what we're doing for the next couple months. Here's some more pictures of it up until it comes out. Once it comes out, hey, this thing's out. Here's what we're doing next. Like, they keep a good pace on it. Whereas iGear is just like, you know, hey, we finished this, come and take a look at it. And it's like, you know, you don't need to do that, especially after that Ratchet and Ironhide reveal. So,
well, and just a few stories up on the TFW front page is the TF Source update, which includes a picture of their really dirty Conehead 3-pack, and it's like that those reminders of their past shenanigans aren't far behind. I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's something that's still very current. So
it's on a PR level to have stuck with, you know, just promoting that Ratchet and Ironhide as far as future projects, I think would have been a million times smarter, because it would have kept everyone going like, hey, you know, they're turning a new leaf, they're going original. And even if you show this thing that is basically Warpath right afterwards, at least you're not hamstringing your Ratchet and Ironhide toys right away. Because, I mean, there are lots of folks I know who have been very outspoken about iGear who said, hey, that Ratchet and Ironhide look pretty cool, props to iGear. And I know that a lot of those folks are probably a lot quicker to turn around on that if they see something like that Impactor. So, I don't know. I don't think they should have shown that not Impactor thing right now, let alone those last... Like, if they're going to show anything, just show those Last Stand of the Wrecker head sculpts if you're going to hype something, because those are original. Those look great. And I wish I could see those on fully original bodies. But that's just me. Seth, did you actually pick out a new pick yet?
Yes. I'm going to stick on the theme of third-party products that...
Furry BotCon of you.
Kind of... That take from other people's designs.
Oh.
And let's talk about the BTS Sonicron. There's a pictorial and written review here on TFW. One of the things that is interesting about this is a small amount did go on sale at BotCon.
20, to be exact.
And at one of the panels, I ended up sitting next to a dude that had one of them.
Oh!
And he was sitting there looking at it, and I was like, oh, dude, you got one of those? He's like, yeah, I got, like, one of the last ones. I'm like, hey, dude, can I, like, look at it? He's like, yeah, I guess. And he handed me the box. So it was still all in the box. I could only view it through the window. But one thing that I think is pretty cool about it is the two heads that he comes with. So the head that comes pre-installed is kind of a little more movie-ish in its design. It's a little pointier, a little sleeker. But what's really cool is he also comes with a more kind of G1-inspired Soundwave-style head.
Yeah.
So I really like how they kind of give you that choice. there's some aspects about his robot mode that I'm not super fond of, like his legs kind of look weird from the side.
Yeah, and there's something about that I read in the review that made me kind of wince, which is that he has the G1 style reverse knees. And I was like, I hope that's an homage. And even then, that's not the best thing to do an homage to.
Yeah. But it's the whole thing's pretty interesting. Like, I'm more impressed with its little micro cassette recorder mode more than its robot mode. Just like the amount of details that seem to be on there, and all the little paint apps, like labeling what all the little switches and buttons and lights are, as you would see in real life. Like, this is the record light, this is the battery light, this switch is for the microphone. I think all that stuff looks really cool. Still on the fence if I want one for my very own. I'm not sure. Did you catch what they were selling them for?
$79 at the show.
Yeah, that's kind of getting a little rough for...
And those 20, I heard that apparently those 20 were very pre-production still, and that things may still change when they do the mass release.
There's a warning at the very top of this the posting here on TFW that that BTS said this is not the final release version. There's some small changes, mostly paint apps, to that will happen.
And I hope that they can do a little bit more, because it's kind of like there were two expectations I had of the thing, and this seems to have been turning out to be the somewhat more negative expectation, which was that it would have all the stuff BTS is really good at, which is like, you know, a solid build, good sculpting, really good details, great ideas, and then it would fall a little bit short on the design side of things, just in, you know, stuff like the weirdness of the legs and whatnot. And I was kind of hoping that wouldn't be the case, but it seems like it might be. So I don't know if I'm going to pick one up myself, but I do hope that it turns out better than the impression I've gotten so far, because I really do want BTS to do well.
Yeah, I think my impression was that they sold these at BotCon to kind of get a feel for the reaction, and I think for the most part it was fairly negative. So I really think that they're going to go back and try to change some things. That was just the impression I got.
Yeah. It's a bummer because, you know, BTS, like I say, they're really good at doing some stuff. They just really need to have that. They need to hit that one, you know, that they got a plateau on the design level and hit that one really good design as well that they can apply all the stuff they're really good at to. And it could turn out really well. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of neat how on the back of the box are like a little paper craft Ravage and Buzzsaw and tape mode. So if you don't have a cassette and you don't want his chest to be empty, you could just cut one of these out, fold it up, and stuff it in there.
When I saw that, I thought that was one of the coolest ideas for an extra ever. Just like little paper craft tapes. I hope it turns out okay. You know, worst case, I hope maybe it turns out like the Night Morpher, where it's like an initial release that doesn't go so well, but then they fix everything and do a redeco that, you know, makes the toy's reputation be repaired or something like that. But I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but the problem with that is, like, if they do an improved, like, sound blaster and now it's black, that's not what I would personally want. I would want a Soundwave colored one.
Yeah.
And I would be disappointed if the not Soundwave color one was way better than the one that was.
Yeah, but the one that they released at BotCon was only apparently 20 pieces, right? So I really doubt that the Soundwave colored one is going to be limited to 20.
No, absolutely. No, I just mean like the worst case scenario being that the mass release of the Soundwave one goes badly. You know, like with the Night Morpher, where the Optimus Prime colored ones were pretty dire here and there.
Yeah, but I really like that inclusion of two heads.
No, it was
so you could choose the motif that you prefer.
Yeah, for different shelves. I like that a lot.
Because at first I didn't notice the more G1 style head in the box, and I was just looking at the one that was on the robot. I was like, I'm like, oh whoa, he comes with a second head. And the guy's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I like that second head way better. And the guy's like, yeah, I think I'll probably put that one on.
That's pretty cool.
it was just kind of a neat surprise, like turning to my left and going, oh, hey, dude, I want to talk to you for a minute.
What's up, buddy? We're friends now until we're done.
Kind of like the two dudes that I saw holding up a fisheye lens attachment from the one guy's DSLR in front of an iPhone to take fisheye pictures through it. I'm like, does that work? And the guy's like, well, not very well, but it's kind of a cool effect. I'm like, can I try? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he pulls it up, and I just took a quick picture through it. I'm like, wow, that, I never would have thought to do that. That's kind of trippy.
And you decked him and took it, just ran off.
Yep.
Good man.
I certainly did.
My new pick is this surprisingly badass mofo of a NASCAR stereotype. This guy, this is the Human Alliance Leadfoot. And you know, initial pictures.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Initial pictures looked okay, but now that when I saw this one picture where it's just, you know, he's transformed a lot more properly, and his bulldog robot has turned into basically a giant beating stick with a folded up bulldog on the end and a chain hanging off it. I was like, I'm into this guy now. Like, once he's transformed properly, he doesn't, it's not like he has a beer gut. It's just that once you transform him right, he is just the stockiest race car robot you're ever going to see. He's got a gigantic barrel chest. He's looking all Volstagg and stuff. And then he's got, apparently this is yet another NASCAR stereotype I was unaware of, but he's an overweight man with a bulldog on a chain. And apparently that got some people pretty annoyed because they're like, NASCAR fans aren't all overweight people with bulldogs on chains.
No, they also are skinny dudes with mullets.
Exactly. And also, I really like that Leadfoot has the visor gimmick from Human Alliance Jazz. And then if you look at what his face looks like under the visor, he's just a really angry, pudgy guy. And I kind of like that.
That sounds right.
Like, here's a shot of him with his robot mode transformed a little bit differently. And you can see his visorless eyes. And I really like how he looks. He looks so crazy. And, I mean, maybe I am just racist towards NASCARs, but, I really like how he turned out.
Yeah, now that third picture is more how he's been getting shown, with those wheels in the front.
Yeah.
But you're saying that first picture that you put up is more how it's supposed to be?
I'm assuming
it is. Either way looks kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
but the wheels in the front like that looks more ridiculous.
The wheels in the front is only on this one picture, so I'm not sure if
that's... But I think that's how he was in the display case, too, wasn't he?
In the display case, I think he was only in package, the Human Alliance one.
Maybe it was the... I thought I saw some version of him in the case. Maybe it was the deluxe one.
I guess. Oh, no, it was the Human Alliance one for sure, because I couldn't find the deluxe one.
That was in robot mode? That was out of package?
They had the Cyberverse one out of package? Maybe I only saw the case on Saturday, though, so I don't know.
I think I'm pretty sure I saw a robot mode of him out of the package in the case with the wheels in the front.
I wonder if anyone took pictures of those cases, perhaps on websites. Go round and round.
Wheels in the front, go round.
I like this picture of him, too, where he's swinging his dog by its mace form with two hands. I really love the idea of this robot bulldog that turns into a bludgeoning weapon, because it makes me think of my brother's pet bulldog, because, you know, bulldogs have hard heads and they don't care if they run into stuff.
I think Robot PETA is going to be protesting this movie if they're going to be using dogs as blunt force objects. Robot dogs as blunt force objects.
But, I don't know, this Human Alliance Leadfoot, I'm 100% behind now. I don't know, he's so characterful, and I guess if that makes me racist towards the NASCARs, then that's just how it's gotta be. He's also, you know, we haven't seen what Human Alliance Topspin looks like, if they're even gonna do one, but following the tradition of the wreckers in any size class, Human Alliance Roadbuster, who is a clean race car and deluxe class, is totally weaponized and stealth forced out in Human Alliance, whereas Leadfoot in Human Alliance is completely clean and unweaponized, as you can see in this picture where his Human Alliance driver is riding his bulldog.
Yeah, with the deluxes, I just wish they were all Stealth Force or all clean. No, in, I don't like that they're mixed match.
In no size class so far have they been uniform, as far as I can tell.
I know, I don't like that.
Really, yeah, it is kind of annoying. On the bright side, I mean, with the deluxes, you can sort of just kludge a Stealth Force mode out of them by plastering mech tech weapons all over the car mode.
But have we seen the names of their Human Alliance drivers? Are they named after the actual driver of those cars?
I'm not sure.
They should be. They should be.
I mean, I know that the package for the Human Alliance Leadfoot was at BotCon, so there should be a picture out there of whoever this guy is supposed to be.
Hopefully he's not like Lieutenant Woof Woof or something dumb like that.
I hope he's Lieutenant Woof Woof. But that's
I think it'd be cool if they were named after the actual drivers.
I don't know. I mean, if this is apparently racist towards NASCAR drivers and fans, then they might not want to be associated with this.
Well, they're also all the Wrecker packaging has all the NASCAR licensing on it, including the little officially licensed NASCAR hologram stickers.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's not like they're doing all this without NASCAR's knowledge. There had to have been some sort of approval. Yeah, NASCAR at some point had to have seen these designs and been like, all right, those are cool, I guess.
So if NASCAR approved these, then how does that make all you NASCARs feel? If your big daddy NASCAR approved all these? Are they traitors to the rest of the NASCARs by approving this? I gotta know. I mean, the whole notion of NASCAR being a race is still very new to me, but I gotta get my info straight before I, you know, say something that is potentially offensive. Anyway, what are we doing next? Our order's all mixed up, so now I forgot where we're going. I think I had a listener question up next, actually. So I'm going to go to our topic list and take a look at it, because I don't have that open right now. I'm so used to doing these in hotel rooms without topic lists that I'm getting all messed up. Gog, do you have any thoughts on Leadfoot, the Human Alliance man with his dog stick?
I'm still not sure what I'm going to do with these guys yet. I have yet to pick up one of the Wreckers in any form. Like I said before, I was kind of at first a little infatuated with Deluxe Roadbuster with his sunglasses and ball cap, and it's like, I mean, people seem to be liking the Deluxe a little bit, but I'm still not sure if I want it. And then there's the Human Alliance, but I had it in hand a little bit at BotCon. I had Shibamura Primes, and it's like, well, I'm still not sure. So, yeah, I don't know yet. I do think that this one is probably the most appealing looking of all the Wreckers that I've seen so far. His car mode, it just seems comparatively clean. Like, he's just red.
Yeah.
With like a Target logo. Now, the Human Alliance that I had, pictures of Leadfoot that I had seen before had a big Target logo on the hood.
That's going to be the Target exclusive.
Yeah, that's going to be the version of Target. Yeah, this sample or pre-release or whatever this thing is doesn't have the Target logos on it, which means one of two things. Either this is just a production sample that doesn't have the paint app, or this is a production sample that shows that this thing may eventually come out without the Target logos.
Okay, because I'd thought we heard from BotCon that it was all the Leadfoots.
Huge Target logo on the Human Alliance Leadfoot at BotCon.
Yeah, but I thought they specifically said that it was only going to be a Target exclusive, but maybe there will be more. If there is more than one version, I want the Target one, because that looks
me too.
Kind of better, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I could see myself grabbing this guy, but like at the same time, I'm really trying to cut back on just random stuff. And if I buy them and mess with them for a day or two, and then take pictures and never touch them again, I don't know if I can justify $30 for that.
On the bright side, I doubt the Wreckers will be hard to find anytime this entire year. So it's not like you're gonna really miss out if you don't pick them up right away. Like, we already know about a Deluxe Topspin repaint being sold on its own. It's something like, what, like Metal Face Topspin, wherein he has no blue. Anyway, I found our listener question. So we have a listener question from TX Grimlock, who opens by saying, Mabu Hay, Vangelis, and his inferior friends. That's kind of mean. That's pretty mean. Yeah, throw it out there. Quiet. He only has two questions to ask us, he says. Question number one. With Hasbro's failed attempt of Kinect Prime and War for Cybertron as one continuity, do you believe that Generations and Reveal the Shield line will be gone soon? Well, just to clarify, we now know both how Prime and War for Cybertron were apparently supposed to be quote-unquote connected, and we also know that Generations will be continuing, and Reveal the Shield was basically Generations. Since the question's already been answered, I guess the bigger question would be, how do you think the failed connection of Prime and War for Cybertron as one continuity would correlate with the end of Generations and Reveal the Shield? Gog Dog.
I understand that I'm an inferior friend, but I also kind of think that this is an inferior question. So instead, I'm going to pass it along to Seth.
My inferior answer would be I don't really think it does have anything to do with it. And I think just more the fact that the movie is a coming has more to do with it than anything else. But, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
So you don't think that the continuity of Prime and War for Cybertron is related to the end of Generations and Reveal the Shield?
I think whatever you think, because your opinions are more valid.
That's only according to the opening of a listener question. And are we going to let those dictate our lives? That's my question for you, listener.
Well, clearly he doesn't want to hear from us, so why should I waste all kinds of valuable time on his excellently worded question if he doesn't have any respect for us bottom-dwelling scumbags?
Well, he does have one other question, too, which was, if by some odd series of event you happen to become the one in charge of TF Smiley Face Prime, TF Prime, Smiley's I did not disable in my posting of this, that's why that happened. If by some odd series of event you happen to become the one in charge of TF Prime, what would you do to improve it? Also, since I'm in Southeast Asia, I get the Rodimus and Cyclonus that doesn't have QC problems. Sorry, just have to say it, sad face. And that smiley face isn't supposed to be there either. That was because I forgot to disable smileys in that post. So, Gog Dog, how would you improve TF Prime as it is, as its lead, as its sole guide?
What? How would I improve it as a lead?
Yeah, if you were in charge of TF Prime, what would
you
do?
Oh, if I was a lead, I thought you meant it as a lead.
Oh.
How would I improve Prime?
I'm just starting to throw all these weird words into the questions myself. Yeah.
Like, there's been a wacky series of events, and somehow you became in charge.
The way that any series starts, it's the same way that Beast Wars starts. And I liked Beast Wars, and I liked the way that the story was crafted, but it took them a while for them to get going. In the beginning, they kind of have to have non-sequitur episodes and just stuff that where you just learn the characters. And eventually, as they plant little seeds here and there, it's stuff that they'll come back and visit, and then they'll have bigger overarching plots. So, I mean, the only thing that I can hope from them is that, we're not seeing a lot of mind-blowingly awesome overarching stories right now, but most shows don't have that in the beginning. You just need time. So right now I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to hope and pray that stuff like that happens eventually, where we get some reoccurring characters and callbacks to plots that end up with more significance than maybe we thought in the past, and leading in towards really huge epic storytelling. But right now, as far as from what I've seen, there's not really a lot that I would change, probably. It's still really trying to get its feet on the ground, I think.
And Seth, suddenly you're in charge of Transformers Prime through a less wacky series of events, perhaps with higher stakes, I don't know. What would you do to improve the show?
Well, I haven't seen enough of Prime to really, have an opinion on what I think needs fixing. But if I had to come up with an answer, I think I would improve it by canceling Prime and doing season 4 of Animated.
That is such a pandering answer, sir.
You're a pandering answer.
Maybe I am. Don't judge me because of where I was born. I would improve Transformers Prime by taking by making it a law, basically. So I've actually taken this farther. I'm now in charge of the entire world, but just in the scope of Transformers Prime. Anyone who watched the opening five-parter and decided to just skip the rest of the series, I would tape them to a chair, sit them down, and make them watch at least three more episodes before they come to that decision. Because the series got so much better after the opening five-parter. I cannot begin to describe it. I believe that myself and GogDog were in fact describing that straight to Lupus Convoy's face at some point during BotCon. So, there you go. Don't give up on the series because of the five-parter. Especially if you only watch three parts of the five-parter. Because, man, I should throw at you.
All that I've seen is the five-parter. And the reason I haven't seen any more is because it's a hassle. As soon as it stops being a hassle, I'll gladly watch the rest. But I don't want to go, I gotta go look for a torrent and download them illegally. Not only is that wrong, but it's also a hassle. So, as soon as, I could just, rent the DVDs from Netflix, or even better still, just watch them on Netflix streaming, or if my local cable provider stops being as Scrooge McDuck about it and doesn't have the hub be an extra charge channel or unlocks the on-demand, and then I can watch it then it'll be easier. You see, that's one of the things I don't get, because they have all these channels kind of broken up into extended cable packages, including BBC America and Sci-Fi. They're part of other packages, but there's channels like those. Like, I don't get BBC America, but I could still watch BBC America on demand. But the hub and the channel that had that Avengers cartoon recently,
yeah,
those are extended channels, but those are locked on demand. But they're not premium channels like an HBO or a Showtime, which I expect would be locked on demand. So I don't get what's going on. It's not a very Comcastic system. So, I don't know. As soon as it becomes less of a hassle, I'll gladly watch Prime.
Well, by the time you're doing that, me and Gog might already be well into Thundercats. That's all I'm saying. Hey, Gog, what do you think about the Thundercats show?
This isn't a Thundercats podcast.
I think the Thundercats show looks pretty good.
This is a Thundercat. Go to that.
Were we going to mention that at all?
Go to that Thundercat website and start a Thundercat podcast.
I don't know.
Let's talk about it at the end.
Yeah.
You want to mention it just briefly? Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Speaking of Thundercats, thank you very much, TX Grimlock, for your listener question. I'm glad that your Rodimus and Cyclonus don't have QC problems, because everyone else's does.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're a jerk.
What?
I'm glad he's a jerk.
I think that was actually the whole topic list. There was one vaguely spoiler topic that I thought was funny, only because we just came off a BotCon where we had, in several certain size classes, a bunch of reveals that were basically like, we're going to show you this in July, and then we just had a vague confirmation of a couple of toys in various size classes which perfectly fit that bill. Do you think we should just say what it is?
Whatever.
I'm going to just okay. This is the spoiler section!
This is the spoiler section! From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk! You have been warned! Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity!
There's a bunch of toys of a movie Soundwave for Dark of the Moon. notably in Human Alliance with Laserbeak, Deluxe, and Cyberverse Legion, where Soundwave is a Mercedes-Benz. So I believe that accounts for a number of the hidden reveals that we were unable to see at BotCon. So there you go.
I think it's- and so that means there's some kind of a change for Sound, or there's multiple changes in store for Soundwave, because he's going to go from a satellite to some sort of an SUV for the Dark of the Moon game, and then a Mercedes for the movie.
Maybe over the course of the game, he realizes that SUVs aren't quite as styling
and high-end,
yes, as a Mercedes-Benz. The main interesting one out of this, I thought, was that the Human Alliance one is going to be partnered with a Laserbeak, which means that there's going to be a Laserbeak that's probably smaller than the Deluxe, which is kind of cool.
That'd be cool if it was the Deluxe.
It's just slapped onto the side of a Mercedes-Benz. I guess that's what's going to happen with the Deluxe Soundwave. His Laserbeak's going to be the same size class as he is. So you got to pretend that that's coming out of this Mercedes. Gog, you got any thoughts on a Mercedes Soundwave?
No, I mean, I think that's a pretty sound theory as far as a bunch of toys that we haven't seen yet.
That's a sound theory.
Yeah, you get it? Yeah. Yeah, because they... How many of those... We can't show you these. Did they do? Was it two or three?
There was a Human Alliance one, there was a Deluxe one, and there was a Leader one. And the Leader one may have been sussed out if you scroll up the front page to there being a listing for a DA-28 DX redecoration Optimus Prime leader in the Japanese Dark of the Moon line, which may
But they wouldn't hide a leader Optimus, would they?
Unless there's something new about him that they don't want to have people knowing. And if they didn't want people knowing Soundwave's alt mode, that, you know, maybe...
Oh, I could see the Soundwave for sure, and I think that there's a good chance that the Soundwave is both the Deluxe and the Human Alliance.
Hmm.
But I'm wondering if there's a leader figure that we haven't seen yet. Because I have a feeling it would... I mean, I totally buy that they're going to do another leader Optimus, but I have a hard time thinking that that would be the secret, but...
You know.
Unless it comes with an accessory that is a spoiler.
Comes with the next MacGuffin for this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, I could see them putting like a little dot over the accessory or something.
Key to Vector Sigma.
Rather than forsaking the entire reveal.
Emirate Zeron.
But that's just me. Who knows?
Dr. Archibald.
But I have a feeling the leader is probably a new mold we haven't seen yet.
The Underbase. Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, there's so many... Like, Japan's already doing Leader Prime with the jetpack from the trailer, so it can't be that. Unless it's, like, a fully redone one with that. I don't know. We'll see what happens when that comes out, but that's basically our little spoiler section. All we got left is me and Gog have a little story we can tell that perhaps might belong on another podcast, only it's going to happen on this one, because...
Use it as an advertisement for another podcast.
Coming soon!
Use it to pimp your stuff.
Coming soon to Thundercats.ws, the Thundercast! Actually, Thundercast is pretty clever.
Oh, man. I'll be surprised if there's not a Thundercast.
I didn't realize.
Unless you have serious ambition to create a high-quality podcast, don't steal our name. Save it for somebody who knows what they're doing.
The Thundercats Thundercast! Oh! I shouldn't be the host of that one, apparently. Me and Gog got to do something pretty cool.
We did.
We got to, I don't even know how to put it properly in a way that does not say more than what needs to be said.
No, there's already a Thundercast.
Oh.
What?!
Whatever.
Who?
Is it Thundercats, though?
There's a link.
Thundercast.org. The internet's first Thundercast, but so someone did think of it first. Okay.
Okay, so we're not as smart as we thought.
As long as it's about Thundercats. If this was like about something else,
it's a weather site. It's like a weather spotting site. Like tips on how
lightning
to
chasers.
Do your own.
I want to see how many episodes they have. 7 episodes.
From 9 years ago.
Oh dear, really?
Is it?
No, I don't know.
It's connected to a thundercatslair.org. There's no dates on the episodes, so I'm not sure when these are from. Oh no, this is pretty new. Their seventh episode was last June 15, 2010. I hope that they pick up business pretty soon, because me and Gog got to go and... Oh my god, that's loud. Hang on.
What?
Sorry, I went looking for a date, and then their podcast just started playing, and it took me by surprise.
Oh. Do they have opening music? That's all like thunder.
Yeah, it's the Thundercats opening, I think. It sounds like it's either the Thundercats opening or a MIDI of the Thundercats opening.
That'd be cool if it was, and whenever they get to Thundercats, then like a totally off-sounding voice just jumps in and goes, cast. Says, thunder, 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 cast.
So me and Gog got to go to see some stuff about the new Thundercats cartoon. And it was pretty cool. Tell them about it, Gog.
Well, these episodes are really spread out.
It was a total weird... set of events that kind of made this happen completely by chance, because Darth Prime 27, who follows us on Twitter, had basically told you that the guy, I don't know his last name, his name is George K, who from the old cartoon Megas XLR was going to be a BotCon, and he kind of did this little persistent thing over the course of a few weeks of reminding you, saying, hey, this guy's going to be there, you should totally interview him. So you go down to interview him, but you decided that you didn't really have any decent place to do a recording, so you called me on the phone, and thankfully I was around and in my room, and asked me, said, hey, could I come up to your room to do this interview? And I said, yeah, sure, you can do it, and I'll just stay on the other side of the room and stay out of your hair, because it wasn't really a WTF thing. It was his own personal little interview. So George asks Chris, hey, I got a couple friends with me, can they come too? Chris is like, yeah, of course. Yeah. So I go down to the elevator to pick him up, because you have to use your card key in the Sheridan elevator. So I go down, he introduces himself, like, hey, I'm George, and this is my friend Josh. Josh is working on the new Green Lantern cartoon. We're like, oh, okay, that's cool. We know somebody who worked on that a little bit, Derek. So he's like, yeah, this is my other friend, Will. Will's working on the new Thundercats cartoon. Like, okay, that's awesome. Really nice guy, and I was like, yeah, man. I watched Thundercats growing up, but I've never been a huge diehard Thundercats fan, but definitely saw that trailer that had come out a couple months prior, and I was blown away, man. So I just want to let you know, like, it's looking good. I wish you the best. And he's like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah. He's like, we've gotten a lot of positive reaction out of it. And I said, I got a lot of friends too who were never really big Thundercats fans, but we saw that trailer and we were really impressed, and we're all kind of pumped for the show, and we hope it turns out well. And he's like, yeah, thanks a lot. You know, I've been hearing that quite a bit, where people say they weren't really big fans, but they like what they see. And I was like, yeah, I can definitely speak from experience. I know a lot of people like that. So we go into the room. You guys do your interview, and you're talking about other stuff besides, you know, about them being at BotCon and some of their other interests and their views on the live-action movie, and you can hear all that when Vangelis posts up that interview whenever he gets around to that. All these guys had like interests that were right in line with mine. Like, they were talking about Gunbuster, and I'm like, oh dude, I'm like a huge Gunbuster fan. And he's talking about how he has like a Figma Igus from Persona 3. I'm like, dude, I got that figure too. And we just really hit it off, and we had a lot of very similar interests, and it was a lot of fun just sitting there and talking to these guys for a while. So we had mentioned, or I think Vangelis had mentioned during the interview, that Hasbro had put out some new figures. So we all went down to the dealer room and were showing them where the cases were with the new figures in them that hadn't come out yet. Before I left, I had told the Thundercats guy, I was like, yeah, you know, again, really wish you the best of luck. It's looking great, and I hope this turns out well, and I'm really pumped for it. And he's like, oh, thanks. He's like, by any chance, are any of you guys going to be around during the week? And I said, well, I'm driving out to Vegas with some friends on Monday, but no specific time. Turned out Vangelis wasn't flying out back to Canada until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, he's like, give me a call on Wednesday. I'll show you around the studio a little bit. Like, okay. So called him Monday morning, said, hey, is the offer still good? He's like, yeah. He's like, give me your names. I'll make some passes for you and we'll show you around. We'll have lunch. And, you know, can't go into too much detail, but went out there around lunchtime on Monday and got to see a lot of really cool stuff. And I was really impressed with some of the people that are working on this. We got to meet Dan Norton, who is the character designer. He's done pretty much all the character designs that you've seen for the upcoming show. All the reimaginations of all the old characters, he's done it. I guess he was a comic artist that actually used to work for Wildstorm, and I think we spent like just 25 minutes in his office just talking about other stuff we're interested in. His bookshelf was just lined with like anime art books, and he had stuff from Masamune Shiro, and I'm like, are you a Shiro fan? He's like, oh, I'm a huge Shiro fan. I'm like, dude, we have to be brothers or something. Like, there's just too much stuff that we're both into. Like, at the very least, I walked away from this knowing that, like, this stuff is in good hands, and at least from people that are like-minded to me. And, yeah, so, again, can't really talk about any of the stuff we saw, but, wow, it was all cool, and I'm super, super pumped for this show, and I'm very impressed with the people behind it.
And trust me, like, you don't want us to talk about some of the stuff we saw. Like, that's the best way I can say it. But I am really more so excited for the show than I have been before, especially knowing, like you said, like the dudes working on it, it's a labor of love for them, and they all have very specific places they're coming from, which are very cool specific places. So it should be a pretty cool series when it comes out, and I would really recommend supporting it with your viewership and whatnot.
Yeah, at the very least, I mean, give it a try. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. After Monday, I have really high hopes. But I'm just speaking from my own high hopes. I would recommend at least everybody give this a shot, because the people who are making this are doing it with passion. And we know more even about the passion behind it that, you know, that's a reveal that we'll let them do if they see fit, but that's all I can say is these guys are really excited for what they're doing, and they are putting their all into it. And if you have even the remotest interest in modern animation, I would at least recommend giving it a shot and seeing if it's for you, because I think they deserve that with the hard work they've put into it.
And just for context, me and Gog Dog are both people whose interest in Thundercats as a franchise is kind of low, as far as I know. Neither of us
absolutely, yeah.
Neither of us are huge. Like, I always dug concepts from.
It's absolutely low.
Yeah, I never. It's completely low. You could test me on that one. I love concepts from that show, but I have never been huge enough into Thundercats to track down DVDs, to watch old episodes, to track down old toys. Gog, I think, is in pretty much the same position. But what we saw.
Yeah, I don't think I own a single bit of Thundercats anything. I think I might have had a couple of toys as a kid that are long gone, and never have had any interest in going back and getting that stuff. I think I'd watched as a joke. I had a friend who was a Thundercats fan, and like 2 or 3 years ago we watched a couple episodes, and I'm like, you know, yeah, it's okay. It's not really my thing, but yeah, I really hope that this...
Well, coming from that place, I think both of us are pretty excited about this new show. So if that says anything to this show's, you know, potential, it's that complete non-fans, basically, such as ourselves, were looking at this going like, that's pretty cool.
Well, just listening to the way you guys are talking about it, it's like we're in a really good time for this sort of stuff right now, because like when these shows were all new and just getting started, like in the 80s, like He-Man, Transformers, Thundercats, G.I. Joe, and Ninja Turtles, like they were all new. There was no history. The people working on them were, I'm sure they did the best that they could, the budgets and whatever they had, but they weren't fans of the things, because the things were new. There were no fans yet. Yeah. And the people that are doing all this stuff now, like Derek Wyatt on Animated and these guys on Thundercats, are dudes that grew up with that, who are fans, so they are coming at it with this more passionate angle. So, I mean, just based on that alone,
Absolutely, and even the
shows
amount
are most likely going to be of a higher quality than some.
Yeah,
they were in the past.
Yeah, and just even the amount of world building that they told us about, and like, I mean, they've created. It's not just the show that they're starting with. I mean, they've also created an entire world around this and backstory that goes back a pretty decent amount of time. So,
yeah. I really watched Thunder.
To create a fully realized world, and it sounds very fascinating from what I've heard.
Yeah, I watched Thundercats as a kid when it was on. Never got into the toys, but I enjoyed the show a lot. And even that series has quite a lot of backstory, and it had a lot going on. So there's a lot to work with and build off of. So it could be interesting.
Yeah, and that was kind of our little kind of trip surprise end cherry on top was that visit, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the coolest thing to me too, because I was kind of joking around like the week before we went to BotCon, I was like, you know, my epic moment in BotCon 09 was getting to, you know, take the photograph of Derek and Guillermo del Toro. Like, oh, that was kind of cool. Like, Derek just found me and grabbed me. He's like, hey, take our picture. And then in BotCon last year, it was Paul Eiting, like, getting to meet him and him doing like the whole snake into my mic, and I was like, yeah, this is, I'm never gonna throw this away again, like, this was awesome. And it was like, this year was personally getting invited to Warner Brothers Animation and getting a no holds barred backstage tour of pretty much everything, and it's like, yeah, pretty stinking awesome. It was definitely, I think, the highlight of my entire vacation, just because of like how, not even getting to see everything, but just getting to meet those people and how cool they were, especially the guy who invited us, and Will, and Mr. Dan Norton, the character designer. They're just such cool people. So
yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun. I hope they don't mind us mentioning that it happened, but, you know, we're trying to do this, you know, entirely in support of what you guys are doing. And don't worry, we're going to be tight lips about everything else. Because, as I said, you don't want us to, no one who actually is going to look at the show wants to know some of the stuff that we know. It's a really cool series that's coming out. And I guess that's all we got this week. So we'll be back next week. I'll be back with Aaron and Lupus and Omegas, and me and Aaron and Lupus could just take over the whole show and talk about BotCon some more. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Vangelis with Seth and Gog. We are WTF at TFW, and we are fresh back from BotCon, and we are all dead sick. So come and give us long, hard... Oh, wait, sorry. There's something else we should bring up. We had an interview. Sorry, I just saw this thing on Skype. Caught me in the last
one
2 seconds.
One more thing! He totally Steve Jobbed it.
We recorded an interview with voice actors Morgan Lofting and Michael McConaughey on Sunday at BotCon, and unfortunately, that thing is never going to come out because nobody knows why. Because we've recorded things with all that equipment constantly over the weekend. We test recorded right afterwards, and it worked. But when we recorded with Morgan Lofting and Michael McConaughey, everything was completely balderdashed, and the audio file is nigh irreparable. It's hard to even describe what happened. It's as though if you took the audio file and then you ran a fork through its waveform and then set whatever you just forked out of it right next to it into a new file, that's what it sounds like. It's a complete mess. I have no idea. Like, I don't think it's possible to salvage it. It's a real bummer because, that was our first time talking with Morgan Lofting and Michael McConaughey on the show. They were both real cool folks to talk to, and we had a great time talking to them. And it seems like that recording is completely wrecked. And there's no specific hardware or software that we can blame, let alone even people. It just seemed like it was a real freak occurrence at the completely wrong time. So that's a real bummer. And I wish.
Yeah, I'm really gutted over it because I had talked to Michael McConaughey over emails leading up to BotCon. He was kind of excited when I finally caught up to him and kind of like when I introduced myself, I'm like, hey, I'm Seth from that podcast we were talking email. He was like, oh, great. I was wondering if you were going to make yourself known. And I'm like, well, you're only here for like 10 minutes, so it's kind of hard to track you down. And then Morgan was just an unbelievable bundle of energy and just positive vibe. And it's just, oh, it's such a bummer that we can't share that.
Like, I still have the file. The file is up on Mega Upload. I don't think anyone can save it, but it is still there. Like, if anyone thinks they can do anything, bear in mind, Aaron had a guy who does this stuff on a near CIA level look at it, who said that the thing is just irreparable. But
it's dead. We all just need to admit it. No one can admit that it's gone.
Because it was so good.
I know. I did get pictures, though. I mean, you can look at my Flickr account and see pictures of Morgan cracking up and playing with Dragstrip, which is really awesome, but
yeah, look at the pictures and make up your own podcast. Yeah.
And just imagine this really spunky woman
who like,
laughs yoga. A lot and is really funny.
I don't think it's over. Like, there's nothing on there aside from the interview. If anyone does want to have a go at it, please let me know and I will give you a link, but there's nothing to do with that file as far as we know. I don't think it's overstepping my bounds just, to say.
Or if you just desperately want to hear or try to hear it through the mess.
Yeah, you can kind of hear what we're saying, only not it's so awesome. Much. Yeah. I mean, it's up there. I have no qualms with anyone who wants to download it, but
and probably like the biggest kind of revelation from that whole thing, like the one kind of really cool little bit that I mean, I think people would be kind of excited to hear was Morgan Lofting, who hasn't been working in voice acting for a very long time, talking about how she's considering getting back into it now.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of the Baroness and the other role she's done, like, cool. Like, she's great. She's super fun, nice person. And
I can say after we did that script reading, she was the one who I kind of talked to a little bit because she's the only one who was still in the room while everyone else was busy, you know, either getting photographs or escaping to backstage. So I just was, you know, I was like, hey, that was pretty fun. And she was super nice to talk to. And like one of the sweetest folks I have met at a BotCon is Morgan Lofting. She's like not a single ill will thought about her. About her entire person. She's just so happy to be there and having such a good time.
So. Well, like all the voice actors we've met have been really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the
and like if you did hear like if this had come out, like Michael McConaughey kind of takes a little more of a kind of a stern stance through the show and it is a little more sardonic and just from talking to him other times, it seemed like he was kind of doing a character, like he's counterbalancing the super bubbliness of Morgan. And it almost like he would have come off as being a little grumpier than he really is. It's just like talking to him before him and I caught up with the rest of you to go record and talking to him in 2009 after he recorded that bumper for us and then kind of the stance he was taking on the show that didn't really line up. So it seemed like he was kind of doing a little bit of a character there, but yeah, but just everyone's been so friendly. He's like all these four people that we recorded with, those two, Paul Lighting and Greg Berger. I mean, really, they have nothing to gain coming on the show. They're already established. Everybody already knows who they are. Like, they're not getting paid to come on. Like, the most we had to give them was a bottle of water if they wanted it. And, but they were gracious enough to give up their time for us and the listeners. And, just makes it more of a bummer that now that time is lost.
Yeah, that's so. The biggest bummer to me is, especially with Morgan, you know, I got an email from her going like, oh man, that was a lot of fun doing that interview, and I got a reply to her going like, it was, and unfortunately that interview's file was somehow corrupted beyond belief right after we finished recording. So, sorry. I still have to write that email. I'm not, because we just now got word from Aaron basically that his buddy turned out to not be the wizard that he had claimed to be.
And just as we should be sending emails to Paul and Paul Eiting and Berger for thanking them for their time and letting them know where they could hear the show if they want, I should probably be sending an apology to Michael McConaughey.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
So,
well, send him a link.
And as we learned, he is not Matthew McConaughey.
That's right.
I did totally accidentally call him Matthew McConaughey, and he's like, "Well, if my name was Matthew, I'd probably be sitting here with no shirt on."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nice. Way to go.
Well, you did it a couple times, and the first time I was like, okay, that slipped by, nobody noticed. And then when you did it the second time, and he corrected you, I was like, oh no.
I was sick, and I was kind of out of it. And at one point I even had thought, well, maybe I should just sit out of this, but I was feeling okay, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. But I did totally call him Matthew.
Well, and then, like, one part that I'm going to admit to, like, I should just shut my dumb mouth and let it be lost with the episode. But if you listen to the Paul Eiting and Greg Berger episode, I used Michael's work in the Crackdown games as an example of how kind of important voice acting is getting to video games. Because, you know, Crackdown isn't that great of a game. It gets very repetitive very fast. But the voice of the agency kind of keeps the game going in a lot of ways. And I've heard comments from loads of people that they kept playing because of the voice. And the way I kind of used that as an example and brought it up with Eiting and Berger worked a lot better. I kind of fumbled it in my sickness and exhaustion when I was setting up that same point. And I think Michael McConaughey kind of interpreted it as I was trying to maneuver him to talk in the voice, which I wasn't trying to do. And then I felt like a total like morning zoo schlub that gets the stand up comedian on and tries just to make them do all their funny bits. And,
I thought it was kind of cute though. When he started doing it and you just immediately were like, no, I didn't mean for you to, ah, he's always too late. I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Cause he was like, all right. And here it goes. Agent. I was like, no.
So I hope we can also in future do something with both those actors so that we can, you know, get their voices on the show again for real. But it's very unfortunate. I think it's the first time we've had a full interview. Just like, I think it's actually the first time we've had a full recording lost ever.
It's not the kind of thing we could go back and redo easily either.
Yeah. Cause so. Number one, they aren't here. And I can't do that. Like, the worst thing that ever happened in comparison to this was that time I lost both the master recording and my recording for the final hour of an episode. And even I can't, there's nothing to be done. I can't even go in and do a jokey, like, re-record of it because I'm not those two. And I don't sound anything like those two. So it kind of sucks. So our apologies to all you listeners who were looking forward to that kind of thing. And I don't know if they're ever going to hear this specific apology, but my apologies also to Michael McConaughey and Morgan Lofting for our loss of our great time together in its digital recorded form. But we did still have our great time together nonetheless. It's just that no one else will ever know. So I think now I can go for sure that we're done this week. Just waiting to see if anything else happens. No? Okay, so we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone. Oh, wait, there's just one more thing!
it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.